Republicans consider the brand of politics were complimentary in the end, citing Reagan's sunny outlook about America's future. He has been described as the one man who single-handedly changed the course of the Republican Party because of his brand of populist conservatism. Still others remember him for considerable changes he made within the ranks of the American labor movement. This would authorize the mass firing of air traffic controllers, deregulating the broadcast industry, and other labor issues. But the biggest scandal of his two terms in the White House, Iran-Contra, followed him into the retirement years, with many criticizing his handling of the White House at that time. The Iran-Contra affair, as it was known, surfaced from the disclosure that Reagan himself authorized secret arms sales to Iran while seeking Iran's help to gain release of American hostages held in Lebanon. Some of the money Iran paid was used without his knowledge, Reagan insisted, to aid the Contras fighting the Marxist government in Nicaragua. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says he was suspending all campaign activity in memory of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan. Kerry recalled Reagan during an address before a graduating high school class in Ohio over the weekend that Reagan's belief in America was infectious. Kerry added that he taught us that there was a difference between strong beliefs and bitter partisanship. Again, Kerry canceled all public events through Friday, including a star-studded fundraising concerts that were scheduled for tonight in Los Angeles and Thursday in New York. President Bush has made Friday an official day of mourning in the memory of the late president. In other news, plans are coming together in the nation's capital for the first presidential state funeral since 1973. After lying in state at his presidential library and museum in California, former President Reagan's body will be flown to Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. Flag-draped casket will be brought to the Capitol in a horse-drawn procession. That evening, a state funeral ceremony will be held in the Capitol Rotunda. Late President will then lie in state for 24 hours so Americans can pay their final respects. He will be the 10th president to lie in state in the Capitol. U.S. Capitol Police say they expect 100,000 people to file by his casket. On Friday, there will be a national funeral at the National Cathedral to be attended by world leaders. Reagan's body will then be flown back to his library and museum for burial. Iraq's new Prime Minister, Ayad Alawi, has told the United Nations Security Council his government will solely control its armed forces and coordinated joint military operations and security policy in full partnership with the U.S.-led multinational force. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Welcome to our new building.
Wow. You guys must be hitting the big time. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. And I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to commit right now.
Listen, I've known you since you started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions.
True.
We had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The General helped us with our new office and warehouse, and I stayed within budget.
Man.
It was half the cost of conventional construction,
half?
And it took half the time.
You mean this is a steel building? It looks great.
Well, the building I ordered from the General was engineered for our area and to fit our needs. Well, this building is actually the reason we're hitting the big time.
Call toll-free 1-888-39-STEEL. If you need warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Whether you need a 60 by 120 for under $55,000 or a 100 by 150 for under $120,000, call the General now for free information. 1-888-39-STEEL. That's 1-888-39-STEEL.
A new kitchen, a home gym, new skylights, a deck, landscaping.
Now at LendingTree.com, you can select a real estate agent, choose a mortgage, and get up to a $2,000 gift card to the Home Depot. Just close with an agent certified by LendingTree.com, and the Home Depot shopping spree is yours. Call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. Or visit LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details and licensing. LendingTree, Inc. is not affiliated with Home Depot.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner Sweepstakes. You can win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake up a winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Unfiltered.
I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully.
Remember organized crime before Bush and Cheney? On the next Unfiltered, we ask the question, has the Bush administration made organized crime families look like a bunch of wussies? What is the true state of the modern-day mob? It's an unfiltered look at the underworld on the next Unfiltered.
Liz Winstead, Chuck D., and Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. It's Monday, Day of the Dead President. We'll fill in the gaps on Reagan that the mainstream media has left out. Plus, we'll have the liberal agenda and the president's palm pilot. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley, as usual, and not as usual, Stu Ellicott is out with bronchitis. Oh, well.
Feel better, Sue.
I'm sorry. I hope you're feeling better, Sue. Dude, Riley, what is going on? If there's anything we can learn from the death of President Reagan is that there is certainly no liberal media. I mean, Jesus, this post-mortem stroke fest is nauseating. You'd think God died on Friday. I mean, everybody, Republicans, Democrats, actors, everybody is blowing smoke up his dead ass. It's unbelievable.
Well,
unbelievable.
Saturday now.
As I recall correctly, he really wasn't the greatest president and communicator in the world. He was the great distractor and the first to really institute the, and sell the idea that poor people are responsible for being poor.
That was only part of his legacy.
Oh, no, we're going to go into it, man. And the other thing he sold was that, you know, image is everything, of course, is the big one of the big legacies. And that also, is it possible that a dead two-term president can run for office again? Because I think that Cheney's out, and the ticket is going to actually be George Bush and the corpse of Reagan.
That gets to the very real question of how much slack George W. Bush is going to get because of Ronald Reagan's death. But I heard this Saturday during the day, and it was an interesting Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit later. But Ronald Reagan, our 40th president, passed away at the age of 93. And as Mark Maron very correctly points out, many in the media and politics are painting a fawning picture of this president and his 8 years in office. While there is certainly sadness over the passing of a life, a sober recitation of fact shows that as president, Ronald Reagan was a great actor.
You put that so nicely, though. Here I am. I've already, I am sad for the pain that people are in his family and whatnot. You know, I'm not trying to be completely disrespectful, but I have a problem with the whole respect idea.
I understand.
But you set that up very nicely. And I personally think that that George Bush trying to link himself to Ronald Reagan is, you know, I could see how he designed his presidency after Reagan because he's hitting a lot of the same notes, you know, mm-hmm. religious fanaticism, deficits, tax cuts. But
fake folksiness. Don't forget that.
Oh, the fake folksiness. And the sort of genuine kind of dimness, that people find
likability.
But he does not have the type of optimism that Reagan had, in a genuine way. You know, Bush does not possess that real sort of leadership quality and that optimism. But the thing that I find, that concerns me is how they're elevating the image now that he's dead. They've been waiting for this for years, the Republican spin machine. And how Bush really looks small. He looks small anyways. Did you see him in Normandy at the big thing? And he was sitting there, you look at him, and he looks like, that's our guy who's going to stand for America. He looks like a rube. When he was meeting with the Pope,
Lord.
It was sad because he's dwarfed by the realities of history.
Well, he's dwarfed by the world stage itself.
Exactly.
Now, this was something that Ronald Reagan was an interesting player on. It was a very different world stage, obviously, in 1980, after 4 years of Jimmy Carter, we had very high inflation. We had a gasoline crisis that really hit the country in 1979, the year before he ran for re-election. And, of course, we had the Iran hostage situation that was really uppermost in a lot of people's minds. But Ronald Reagan stepped into that world stage promising to bring America back to greatness, there was a great feeling in the country that that America had become impotent, and that was, I think, symbolized by the Iran hostage crisis.
Here, flaccid.
Yeah. Well, you can put it that way. Yeah. Not the America that Americans wanted to project on the world stage.
Right.
We wanted to project this strength. We wanted to project, obviously, a strong face in front of what many people still felt was a very real threat, the Soviet Union in 1980.
Right.
So he went after a wounded president because Jimmy Carter could not, despite his best efforts, solve the hostage crisis. And there are reasons for that. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But Ronald Reagan managed to get himself elected. And over that succeeding 8 years, from 1981 through early 1989, he was given credit and is being given credit as we speak by the media for certain things that perhaps he should have gotten little or no credit for. He's given credit, for example, for saving the U.S. economy during the 1980s. But by most objective measures, the country's economic performance under Ronald Reagan, best-case scenario, was mixed. Best case.
And also, didn't he set a certain standard for blaming the administration before him for almost everything? Didn't he hold Carter responsible for all of the problems that the country was suffering, just like Bush is doing with Clinton, and that they're instituted to do within this administration?
Well, they wanted... See, it's a little different with Clinton because Clinton wasn't running for re-election.
And also oversaw a great economic boom.
Yeah, oversaw a huge economic boom that George W. Bush was never really able to explain away. Ronald Reagan could explain away virtually all of the good things that Jimmy Carter did. Jimmy Carter in 1980 faced a bruising presidential primary against Massachusetts Senator Ted Kennedy, which he eventually won, but there was a divided Democratic Party coming out of the convention that year. And Ronald Reagan played on that. But, you know, Reagan was involved in a lot of things that are just now starting to be made manifest. Certainly, his position on the Iran-Iraq war, as one example, is something that's come back to haunt America. And I must say, I did something a little different this past weekend.
Yeah.
Early Saturday morning, there was a little item in the news, in my local newspaper on Friday, saying that there was a group of National Guards people who were going to Fort Dix in South Jersey from the Teaneck Army, which is around the corner from my house,
yeah,
and that they were going to Iraq. And they were going to be gone for like 18 months.
That's a long haul.
It's a long haul.
Just right out of the gate.
And that's the end of next year is what that is.
Well, let me understand something, Mark. I mean, isn't it, you know, hasn't history come to prove that, you know, that Reagan, you know, armed the Iranians, okay, in exchange for releasing the hostages at the appropriate time for him to be reelected as the October surprise. After he was in office, he armed the Iraqis.
That's right.
To sort of go at the Iranians. So that was sort of like, it was almost like they were playing both sides. And on some level, that policy or that action is the beginning of what we're looking at now.
Of what we're looking at now. And remember that the footage that people may remember having seen of Donald Rumsfeld, a smiling Donald Rumsfeld, shaking hands with Saddam Hussein, took place in 1983 during the Reagan administration. Donald Rumsfeld was, in fact, acting on behalf of Ronald Reagan. But, I mean, I got up at 6-something on Saturday morning and went up to the corner to join a relatively small group of people to watch and actually applaud these guardsmen as they went off to serve. They're going to Fort Dix, then to Kuwait, and then to Iraq. And this happened as news came that 2 New Jersey National Guards people had just been killed in Iraq. And actually 2 more were killed later that same day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And to see people, I mean, you know, these are folks who kind of end up putting their lives on hold. To see, you know, people being separated from their families and that sort of thing was a very, very moving thing for me. And I realized, because it was my daughter was the catalyst for all this,
right,
that you can actually be for the troops and against the war. Now, that may not seem to have much to do with Ronald Reagan, but as you very correctly point out, I got to that place that Saturday morning watching these troops go off, in part because of things that Ronald Reagan did during his presidency that are now just coming
coming back to bite us in the ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the truth of the matter is, you know, the average approval rating over the course of the Reagan presidency was 52%. 52%, which is worse than Clinton, Bush, the first, Johnson, Kennedy, Eisenhower. And also, you know, what people don't realize is that after Carter, when Carter left office, economic growth, you know, was all the GDP, the jobs, revenues were all positive when
yep.
Carter left office. And after Reagan took office, they all plunged, and he rewrote history and economic theory, and you know, and started you know this massive deficit that has only been you know beaten by Bush's incredibly massive deficit. So if he's honoring the legacy of Reagan, it is in that he is plunging the country into a debt that will last for generations.
Well, the deficit was $74 billion in Jimmy Carter's final year. Now, that was considered high by 1980 standards. By the time of Ronald Reagan's final year, 1988, that deficit was $155 billion, so it had more than doubled. He pledged to cut the federal workforce. It, in fact, increased from 2.8 to 3.1 million people. Federal spending went up. There was a recession under Reagan that produced double-digit unemployment.
Double digits. And yes. Also, he lowered the pay for workers, and he was a union buster.
Well, PATCO. PATCO was his coup de grace on the union movement. Ironically enough, there were a number of unions, the Teamsters and others, who supported Ronald Reagan for re-election in 1984. PATCO was the Air Traffic Controllers Union that Ronald Reagan very famously eliminated. I mean, essentially fired the PATCO workers when they went out on
screwed them for taking a stand for themselves.
Well, they were taking a stand over issues like how long they would end up having to be working continuously because, you know, fatigue set in. There were concerns.
Yeah,
that,
these are guys you need awake.
Yeah, absolutely need awake. But there was that question, and when they went on strike, instead of allowing them to settle it, you know, the way most unions settle beefs with employers, Ronald Reagan fired the PATCO workers and thereby set a tone of anti-unionism that was essentially lasted until Bill Clinton, essentially a decade later.
And, you know, these bastards have the nads to say that, you know, that Reagan economics – You know that Bill Clinton oversaw a huge boom, and that they are willing to say, well, that's just the turning of the Reagan economic theory.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, these guys are liars, and they're misleading the public by glorifying this dead president. Still ahead, the presidential palm pilot plus the is President Bush starting to crack up a little bit right here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Lamont! Lamont! 21 past the hour. Lord, Air America Radio.
You know,
what a change of... I got to apologize to our listeners. Maybe not so much apologize, but we were talking
Fire
about...
Fire.
We were talking... Riley quoted Red Fox before the show, and we got going on the theme, and now there's the theme. Now, I think people should know that we are going to be assessing the Reagan presidency a bit throughout the day.
Throughout the morning.
You know, in from our point of view.
Yeah.
You know, because we are entitled to that point of view, and a lot of the things we have to say will not be covered in this sort of, you know, nauseating, you know, post-mortem stroke fest.
There's a relatively small number. Greg Palast has written some pretty trenchant observations.
That piece he wrote, dude, that was like, bam!
Yeah.
You know, I don't, thank God, good riddance to you.
Greg is a good guy. I know he's on with Randy Rhodes all the time.
I've read his book.
Yeah,
Greg is
he's tough.
Learned a lot of stuff.
He's extremely tough.
Now, you know that picture of Donald Rumsfeld in 1983? Kissing some Saddam butt.
Video, by the way. It's not just still photographs. There's a picture of there is video of Donald Rumsfeld walking into a room, sticking out his hand and shaking hands with our then friend,
the United States then business partner in its war on Iran.
On Iran. And by the way, Stinger missiles and a lot of these other things.
That are still laying around.
They're still laying around. Guess who's, they got Donnie's initials on them, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is our Secretary of Defense. This is the guy who now mother hen the neoconservative cabal that got us into this war.
Into the administration.
Yeah.
You know, and made this president the puppet of an agenda that he had to be sold on.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that in sympathy with President Bush, but, you know, if they didn't sell him on this agenda, he wouldn't have had much of anything. That's for sure.
And
these Stinger missiles, all this weaponry that is still, you know, being, you know, hurled and shot at American service people in Iraq, a lot of it is of that initial American issue, I guess. Is that true?
Yeah, a lot of this stuff, I mean, they can't account for a good deal of it. There's a lot of... weaponry, not just Stinger missiles, but other forms of weaponry that simply went to Iraq and have disappeared, and no one, not Hans Blix, no one has been able to actually find all of this material. And that, Mark, gets back to the whole issue of Ronald Reagan's legacy on the world stage, because he's been portrayed certainly in most of the obituaries I've seen, as a skilled player on the world stage. His claim to fame, of course, is, he ended the Cold War. He caused the collapse of the Soviet Union. And the general, general construct there is that he forced the Russians to spend so much money in an arms buildup that they eventually spent their way into bankruptcy, and that broke up the Soviet
Union. So his bluff sort of worked. And it wasn't necessarily a bluff, but he definitely, you know, put the fear of nuclear war in their brains in a very real way. Because I think a lot of his sort of, I think he was one of the certainly in modern presidential history, he was the dude that brought apocalyptic imagery and apocalyptic, you know, talk and sort of biblical prophecy talk, you know, good and evil, the end days and
evil
all that.
Evil empire.
The evil empire. And he's, you know, he said some stuff that, you know, really led me to believe that, that he really, like this president, believed that, you know, we might not get out of this thing. You know, and I have some of those quotes, and I'll dig them up in a minute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, right now, Rumsfeld, is this is a guy that for all this time was really toeing the party line, and he said the other day, despite considerable progress, the reality is that today we remain closer to the beginning of the struggle than to the, its end. It's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this in reference to the war on terror. This is Rumsfeld, you know, who used to toe the party line, though confusing he was at times about what exactly he was saying.
And he's actually on a sales call, you know. This trip that he's on, that he took over the weekend, was to Asia and South Asia, Bangladesh, Singapore, places like that. Spoke to the Shangri-La.
Did he think no one was listening?
Yeah, the Shangri-La dialogue.
Let me requote that so people understand. Donald Rumsfeld said, "It's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this." Donald Rumsfeld.
That would be the war on terror he's talking about, folks.
The war on a method that he's talking about.
Yep.
That defies national boundaries. That's a pretty profound thing, man, because Rumsfeld, you know, it almost makes me feel like, you know, with Tenet's resignation, with Rumsfeld saying stuff like that, that maybe they're letting it go all the way up to Cheney and Bush, that these guys are being set up for the big fall. I mean, all they got right now to bolster their approval is, you know, trying to link him to Reagan. I mean, what else do they have? What else has this dude done?
Well, he's now, he sent Rumsfeld over to Southern Asia to try and get commitments of troops, of peacekeepers, as they're now being called, to serve in Iraq past the June 30th deadline so that more, you know, New Jersey National Guardsmen aren't going to end up getting over there for another year and a half,
yeah,
which is what we see going on now. At a point, I don't hear that any of the countries, and there were 20 of them at that Shangri-La dialogue, I haven't heard any of them make any hard and fast commitments for troops. So it looks like at this point Rumsfeld's trip has been for naught, but you never know. I mean, he could sell this to somebody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, now Bush has been actively, you know, trying to, you know, kiss a little UN ass now that, you know, he's, you know, found that he's made incredible mistakes.
I don't think they're buying. I don't think there is a single person. I don't think that Jacques Chirac, for all of that happy talk that came out of the Bush visit the other day, I don't think Jacques Chirac is buying all of this. What Jacques Chirac is looking for, what the Germans are looking for, who is that, Schroeder, I think, they are looking for the Americans not to say, well, will you commit troops, but, hey, your businesses can come into Iraq.
Right, give us a piece of the pie.
Yeah, what is it they said in The Godfather? They want to wet their beak.
They want to wet their beaks because they were wetting their beaks previous. And from my understanding, one of the great threats, one of the reasons we went into this war was that a lot of Iraqi petroleum dollars were being channeled and processed or laundered, if you will, in a legal sense, through the euro.
Yeah.
And it was bolstering the European Union's economy. And it was going to start to devalue the American dollar over the long haul, which was one of the reasons, I think, that they don't say it, that the neocons, you know, really said, we got to grab hold of this spigot.
Well, yeah, and we got to make sure, too, that the spigot doesn't fall under the influence or into the hands of the Chinese, those billion or so consumers who might threaten at some point further down the road America's access to the same oil. Now, you know, I was thinking about this morning, and we can get into this later, but the whole idea that Americans can't think of anything else but fossil fuels,
yeah,
is just amazing.
Ridiculous.
And we have to get into that later, but that's part of what causes this dependence on, quote, foreign oil. Straight ahead, the presidential palm pilot, your phone calls on Ronald Reagan, and is Bush going nuts? This is Air America Radio.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush has called for an official day of mourning on Friday for the late Republican President Ronald Reagan. The 40th President of the United States lost his long fight with Alzheimer's disease at the age of 93 over the weekend. Tributes continue to pour in for the late President, even from his critics. Reports say the Democrats have found a new weapon to criticize the Bush administration over its efforts to revive the labor market, and that weapon is salaries. As the nation's economy creates new jobs before the November election, the Democrats say the jobs are still far too few and too thin with respect to pay. Israel's Prime Minister Ariel Sharon got his wish yesterday. His government approved an Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip in principle, but a compromise with cabinet hardliners diluted the historic decision, leaving the future of 21 Israeli settlements uncertain. And Iran has reportedly answered most questions about its nuclear program and does not expect the United Nations Atomic Agency to declare it in violation of its obligations. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
The Majority Report.
I guess we don't lie, but we don't have to. I mean, I suppose if we had to lie, like Limbaugh has to lie, because otherwise he wouldn't really be able to have a show.
But also he suffers from the same type of delusional disconnect that a lot of right-wingers do.
Janine Garofalo and Sam Cedar.
When I make $25 million a year doing this job, I'm going to be as piggish and demagogic as Limbaugh. I just won't have to lie.
The Majority Report on Air America Radio.
Good morning. It's Mark Maron. It's 33 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition. I'm here with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott out sick.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. Got some good emails to read. We got this this story coming up that makes George Bush, the president, seem a little bit more like Nixon than Reagan. But right now, my guy just sent us the presidential Palm Pilot information we get every day from my dude in the Oval Office. Downloads it, the presidential Palm Pilot. And here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message. I'm just like Ronald Reagan. Wag head in folksy manner. Emphasize rakish angle of cowboy hat. Tell better jokes. 8:30 a.m., review tape of last night's Tony Awards. Repeatedly point toward award winners and say, I'll bet that guy's gay. 10:30 a.m., move troops from South Korea to Iraq. Unilaterally declare that Korean War is over. We won. 11:30 a.m., move Iraq troops to Yemen. Declare that Iraq War is over. We won that, too. 12:30 a.m., move troops out of Yemen, simultaneously declaring war and victory there. 3 p.m., give D-Day commemoration speech, again, alone to self in bathroom. Repeat it while wearing different costumes. 4 p.m., call France and ask whether they knew that America saved them in World War II. Be reminded that you were just there yesterday for D-Day celebrations. Say, oh yeah, give speech to self again. 7 o'clock p.m., get taste of French food out of mouth. Eat dinner of cornflakes and Pepsi. 10 o'clock p.m., lights out, dream about French chicks. There you go. That's a big day for the president. So now, Riley, this thing killed me. This story killed me. We get it from Capitol Hill Blue. It's an article by a fellow named Doug Thompson, and I hope...
He's the publisher of Capitol Hill.
CapitolHillBlue.com, and I hope to God that this is true in some respects. In other respects, I'm like, this makes me very nervous. All right, apparently President Bush has been, you know, he's been having some erratic behavior and in wide mood springs. And he's
mood swings.
And he's walking around the halls of the White House, you know, mumbling biblical passages and cursing out people. And, you know, he's declaring everybody as an enemy of the state. And, like, one consultant, a GOP political consultant, says, it reminds me of the Nixon days. You know, everybody is an enemy. Everybody's out to get him. That's the mood over there in the White House. And I'm going to read directly from the article. In interviews with a number of White House staffers who were willing to talk off the record, a picture of an administration under siege has emerged, led by a man who declares his decisions to be God's will and then tells aides to F over anyone they consider to be opponent of this administration. This is beautiful. You know, it's just not holding. His spirituality isn't even holding. What do you got over there, Riley? You want to read one? It's fun. Do it.
Well, all right. We should say this is from Capitol Hill Blue. We're not making this stuff up, okay, because I want people to be clear that we are not attributing these tendencies to the President of the United States. But there is, in fact, a website that is so doing. They're talking to political consultants. They're talking to White House staffers off the record, because obviously no one would talk on the record about this, but they are painting a troubling, and I do mean troubling,
yeah, man,
portrait of the man in charge.
This is like, this dude is like, you know, okay, one aide says, this is what's killing us in Iraq. We lost focus. The president got hung up on the weapons of mass destruction and an unproven link to Al-Qaeda. We could have found other justifiable reasons for the war, but the president insisted the focus stay on those two tenuous items.
Well, they also say that George Tenet didn't just resign under pressure. This website says that Bush, in fact, abruptly dismissed him.
Well, we assumed that on some level.
I know, but they got quotes here. Okay.
Lay them out, man.
This is an aide, and I guess it's a White House aide. It's quoted again in Capitol Hill Blue. Tenet wanted to quit last year, but the president got his back up and wouldn't hear of it, says an aide. That would have been the opportune time to make a change, not in the middle of an election campaign, but when the director challenged the president during the meeting Wednesday, the president cut him off by saying, "That's it, George. I cannot abide disloyalty. I want your resignation, and I want it now." End quote.
Yeah, let's not let him leave when, you know, we could replace him efficiently and maybe sort of restructure the CIA. Let's let him leave. Let's push him out right after a major threat has been, you know, publicized by our Secretary of State. It's just like, first of all, the threat is just to promote fear on a lot of levels. But the idea that Tenet gets pushed out right after they say something big's going to happen leads me to speculate in the worst kind of paranoid ways. Like, did Tenet say, like, you know, yeah, I know. You know what? They're right. Something big's going to happen. Not on my watch. I've taken enough of this. You know what I mean?
Well, see, this is the other thing that comes out of this story that, and Mark, I know that this is something that's bound to get you upset. And that is that the president's inner circle seems to be simultaneously shrinking, and he is drawing the religionists closer to him. In other words, Attorney General Don Ashcroft.
Yeah.
Again, one of these people, you know, who is a religionist.
Oh, my God, dude. That's all he's going to have. And see, I believe that's true, as we said in the last segment, that, you know, this blame is trickling up, and it's just going to be Dick Cheney, Bush, and Ashcroft. I mean,
yeah.
Could you think of a more apocalyptic trinity to lead the country? That's all we got left. You know, they'll push Wolfowitz out. They won't even have an agenda anymore. It'll just be Cheney, Ashcroft, and Bush praying in the White House around the button, for Christ's sake. I mean, did you see The Dead Zone? Do you remember that with Martin Sheen when Christopher Walken shakes his hand? And there's that scene where he tells the president is Martin Sheen, and he tells the vice president, said, "You better put your hand on this secret unlocking device for the weapons, or I'll cut it off and do it for you." And he comes out and announces to the press, "Hallelujah. The missiles are flying." Now, I'm not saying that'll happen, but the idea that the only group left, that, you know, the only people he can hold close is Cheney and Russ and Ashcroft, is frightening.
It is truly frightening. And, of course, that means Colin Powell is on the back burner. And we know why.
Yeah, because he was, you know, he knew the truth, and he's not going to take the hit for it.
Nope.
Well, we've got the liberal agenda up ahead, and we're going to take your calls on Bush's fragile state of mind and on former President Ronald Reagan. We'll take your calls at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Please don't hold back. We'll put you on the line here on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experienced professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
Past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm here with Mark Riley. Stu Ellicott out with the bronchitis. Call us 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270, sedition at airamericaradio.com. We have been getting, you know, tons of email without even, you know, asking you for it, and thank you for it. Here's one from WBM, Wayne. It seems strange that the religious right doesn't say anything about Ronald and Nancy Reagan's belief in astrology and its practice in their White House. I guess they selectively forgot about this. You mean their witchcraft? Yes, that's right. The Reagans were practicing witches. The astrology thing. Yes. Here's another one from no name. Keep on kicking ass. You guys are tough to catch as I am in the Midwest, but when I do, I always enjoy it. Thanks. Here's another one. Mark and Mark, you guys are so right on. Mark M., use the word apotheosis. That's what this liberal mainstream media is offering up, liberal in quotations, putting Mr. Arms for Hostages on a divine pedestal. You guys are providing the counterbalance. Peace, Steve from Boulder. Thank you, Steve. Yes, apotheosis is exactly what they're doing, elevating
now,
him.
Now, we also ought to be clear, when we talk about Reagan and astrology, we're not just blowing smoke here, all right?
No, that was
April Fool's Day, 1981. Ronald Reagan had not even been in office for 6 months. His wife, Nancy, sought out the advice of astrologer Joan Quigley. All right, we got a name here. This is not just some woman, somebody they consulted out of the ether. This wasn't the Wizard of Oz. This was, and by the way, this was at the recommendation of Merv Griffin, who certainly I would take the recommendation of. And from then on, Quigley would influence the president's schedule by pointing out both good days and bad days. Okay, and this was, yeah, this was something that was known throughout the White House. Okay?
Witchcraft.
This is not something that we're making up here. And I think it's important that when we say that there was astrology involved, we're not just making these things up. I know some of you are younger people, and maybe some of you may have been born after 1981. Some of you may think there's no way in the world a sitting president of the United States would in any way, shape, or form use astrology to govern this country. But the fact of the matter is, that's just what he did.
That's absolutely right. We got Bruce on the phone. Bruce, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, calling from Switzerland.
Yes.
Hey, Bruce.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Thanks, Mark and Mark, for doing what you're doing and trying to draw this connection. But be careful. You know, all astrologers are not witches, and most witches are astrologers. But as we look at the connection that Bush is trying to make with Reagan, and he is a war president, too, like Reagan. But, you know, the Central American policy was a kind of like the neocons getting their feet wet. And now they're still a little wet behind the ears, and they haven't got it down right yet. So they're going to go somewhere else later and try to implement this same policy somewhere. Reagan wanted to do it in space. He wanted to have the first strike capability from space, you know?
Yeah.
Star Wars. Hey, let me tell you something.
Right.
Star Wars.
Thanks for calling, Bruce.
Star Wars scared the bejesus out of the Russians.
See, it scared me.
It scared everybody.
You know what I mean? It's like, that's all I need is to know that something could go wrong in space. I mean, the idea of it was a pretty interesting idea defense-wise. Mike in New Jersey. Mike, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
What's up, Mike?
First of all, wish Sue a speedy recovery.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Second of all, nobody's mentioned this, the roots of the Keating and Loan scandal.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
It started under
yes.
Mr. Reagan's watch.
And wasn't Neil Bush involved in that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, they were all sort of dirty in that,
and
weren't they?
It broke towards the end of his administration, and he was very much in favor of government deregulation, and we, you know, the average person got it in the neck with this.
Right. We took the hit for like a really high amount that the government paid out.
I don't want to misspeak about exactly how much it was, but it was double-digit billion
dollars. $80 billion or something like that.
Something like that.
It was crazy. And he was the president during that whole junk bond thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
We got Tom in Oregon. How are you, Tom? Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Mark. And Mark, how are you?
All right. How you doing?
Oh, hanging in there. And Sue, if you're out there listening, get well. And if this chucklehead gets reelected, please help me get to England.
We may end up all going in the same boat.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. Maybe she can get a bunch of big steamer trucks and trunks, and we can all climb in those and pretend like we're a Broadway show going to London.
Okay.
It was a feeble attempt at humor. I'm sorry.
No, it was good. It was good.
I'll
man.
Leave it to the comedy guys.
Come on. What's on your mind, buddy?
Well, I wanted to just mention that, like, draw a parallel with, like, you were talking about how Reagan, you know, people blowing smoke up his butt now that he's dead and everything, and what a wonderful guy he was. And you know, I'm a little older, and maybe you're about the same age as me, I think. Do you remember the parallel of, like, when Nixon croaked? Now, this guy was, like, one of the biggest crooks going until Bush got in office.
Oh, that's right. They tried to really reinvent
him. They blew smoke up his butt like he was, like, the coolest thing since sliced bread.
Right.
And this guy was a total crook.
But you know
what,
Tom?
Thanks for your call, man.
The point that Tom makes is an important one, because Americans always blow smoke up the butt of deceased presidents.
But they were trying
always.
To reinvent Nixon. They really were like, you know, everybody in the country knew the dude was a crook and knew that, you know, the compromises that he made within his own administration, the secrecy, the sort of evil, the listing of people that were his enemies. And they really tried to spin him into this, you know, this sort of international policy genius.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you know, they did the same thing. Well, look at Warren Harding, who was president from 1921.
Sure, I remember the Harding presidency.
Yeah, right. From 21 to 23. A guy who was admittedly not real fast. A guy who allowed his underlings to plunder the treasury through something called the Teapot Dome scandal, which involved oil leases out in Wyoming, Dick Cheney territory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when he passed away, and he passed away in office.
Can we connect Cheney to this?
No.
All right.
Unfortunately, he was, he might have just been a wee small. No, I don't even think he was a blink.
He died.
He was lionized and deified the same way. There's a thing. Herbert Hoover, who presided over the, you know, the Depression. When he died, they kind of, you know, they didn't say he was an awful man who presided over the nation's worst economic times in history.
Right.
They do this with presidents of the United States. But there should be, and I think this is one of the things that the emailers and the callers get into, there ought to be some balance in terms of reality, in terms of what happened. Ronald Reagan was death to African Americans in this country. So if nobody else is going to say it, I will. Ronald Reagan was awful for African Americans. He tried to have the African National Congress in South Africa branded a terrorist organization. I had no use for him on that level.
Unbelievable. You know? And he also was bad for the television and news industry, as we'll find out. Our very own Wayne Gelman is going to be talking to us here in the studio.
Not in the newsroom.
So thanks for calling. If we didn't get to you, sorry, and come back to Air America Radio.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber and épée. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Good morning. Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I am sitting with two radio veterans, These guys have been in the business. Mark Riley, of course, is one of them. And Wayne Gelman, our news anchor, is the other.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Right. Nice to see you, man.
Good morning, Wayne.
Same here. We see each other every day.
Yeah, we see each other.
Not sitting like this.
Wayne and I have seen each other virtually every day for 30 years. Right, we started together.
And actually used to sit across each other on a regular basis like this. Until Air America, but... We're glad you're here.
Wow.
Oh, man. I can vent my anger.
Maybe I can just leave the room, let you guys have a little old home week.
There you go. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
So how did Reagan affect the broadcasting industry?
Well, I know I talked about this off the air earlier on, and the thing is, I don't want to really blow up, you know, at this point, but go ahead, honestly, blow up. I mean, the man is dead, all right?
Yeah.
So I have respect for him. But beyond that, I don't think the average American has a clue the kind of impact he has had on the American labor movement in this country.
Right.
You know, you talk about what happened with the air traffic controllers 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's also affected the broadcast industry. Mm-hmm. A lot of us who have been looking for jobs in the last 20 years have been outsourced, if you will, because of his deregulation of this business.
Right. Yeah.
And allowing big business to consolidate and take jobs away. There was a time, and as I mentioned at the top of the show, before the show started, that 30 years ago, at least when we started, it was an obligation, regardless of what format you were on, that they would carry at least 5 minutes worth of news on radio and television.
It was probably relatively objective news.
Yeah, it was. You know, I mean, what's that? What's that? Please, you know.
Where we started.
Exactly.
We started in the newsroom. We learned, from the ground up how to do this business. And then we got to kind of like the midpoint in our careers, and we looked around and suddenly realized that a lot of folks that we used to go to press conferences with, a lot of folks that we used to go to work with and see on a regular basis just weren't around anymore.
Right.
And by
why
the way,
is that, Mark?
Because in deregulating the radio business, they also deregulated the amount of time people had to spend serving the community. News was part of the community service that allowed you to actually get the license to broadcast. These are public airways.
Exactly.
They don't. Mel Karmazin, nice guy, but he doesn't own the air.
Right.
You know, none of these guys. Rupert Murdoch does not own the air.
It was a different world 20 years ago. I mean, when this whole thing started, what led to the fair and balanced reporting of Fox News today?
Yes.
You know, was as a result of what Reagan did to deregulate
this
business.
Well, you can even see it on CNN now. I mean, it's like they are not giving any alternative viewpoints except for this fluff.
Yeah.
About Reagan. Yeah, I know the guy's still warm.
Uh-huh.
I get that. But still, there should be some criticism.
He's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, forgive me for even, you know, being insensitive on that part, but, you know, I just find it despicable. You know, and he was a bigot. I mean, I heard you mention that earlier on about his position with the ANC some years ago. It was
definitely a bigot. Well, thanks,
hey, listen,
Wayne.
Thank you.
Hey, and if we need you, we're going to come get you again.
All right. That's right.
We need some more bile. Yeah. Gilman is here.
He had it. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Please use your marching orders. Get your notebooks and your pens. Here we go. Liberal agenda for today, Monday. One, convince yourself that Ronald Reagan's presidency was just a TV drama that ran from 1980 to 1988. It was replaced with China Beach. Two, complain that the New York Times is obviously biased because the lead stories today were Reagan and the D-Day commemoration instead of Bill Clinton's keynote speech to the annual book publishing convention in Chicago. Three, listen to John Kerry's giving a speech. Say over and over, he's interesting. He's really, really interesting. Four, give yourself a break. Go where no one can hear you and keep yelling, trailer trash, until you've gotten it out of your system. Five, tell everyone that World War II was not won by troops in Normandy. It was actually won by poets, vegetarians, and part-time instructors at the Learning Annex. There you go. All right, that's it. Do what you will.
There you have it. From the Streisand compound.
Yeah. I heard didn't she perform somewhere last week or a couple days ago with Willie Nelson and Neil Diamond and...
Wow.
Oh, tonight it was supposed to be. They're
going
to cancel it. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Out of respect.
Out of respect, yeah. Certainly. There's more to come on Morning's Edition. Michigan Senator Carl Levin talks about Reagan's legacy and the future of the CIA. Mark Maron shares his dream diary with us, plus the Salon.com story of the day, courtesy of Rick Perlstein. Don't go away. This is Air America Radio.
This
Discovery Channel's new series, Big, happily exploits our nation's unending desire to supersize. This week, it's a movie lover's main course, the cinema staple, popcorn, and piles of it. As Frank Payne and his team try to create the world's largest popcorn popper. Why? Because we can. An all-new Big, Tuesday at 9, only on the Discovery Channel.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease lozenges, clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease nasal spray.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The tributes continue to pour in for the late President Ronald Reagan, who died over the weekend at the age of 93. He'd been out of the spotlight for a period of 10 years, stricken by Alzheimer's disease. But the media since his passing has resurrected the life and times of Reagan that will culminate with an official day of mourning this Friday. He was the 40th President of the United States. He entered the Oval Office at a time when the country was sharply divided by a variety of issues. Many credit him for single-handedly being responsible for the reshaping of the Republican National Party, making it what it is today. State Secretary Colin Powell, a beneficiary of the Civil Rights Movement, says he owes Reagan a debt of gratitude for having launched his career.
I saw him both as a diplomat, as National Security Advisor and Deputy National Security Advisor, but I also saw him as a soldier, because during those years I was still in the Army. And I'll never forget that it was Ronald Reagan who helped to restore pride in the armed forces of the United States when he became president in 1981. And he also gave us the wherewithal to once again be the best military force in the face of the earth.
Many of Reagan's critics, political critics, in the end, were able to find the good in his character, often referring to a sunny outlook about the nation's future. Former President Bill Clinton got to Reagan, or spoke of Reagan, that is, as governor, got to know him, I should say, as governor. He vehemently disagreed with many of his policies, but he was awestruck by his ability to win over friends and foes alike. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry says he was suspending all campaign activity. In memory of the late Republican President Reagan, Kerry recalled Reagan during an address before a graduating high school class in Ohio that Reagan's belief in America was infectious. Kerry added that he taught us that there was a difference between strong beliefs and bitter partisanship. Again, Kerry canceled all public events through Friday, including a star-studded fundraising concert that were scheduled for tonight in Los Angeles and Thursday in New York. President Bush has made Friday an official day of mourning in the memory of the late President Ronald Reagan. American forces are seeing some intense action in southern Afghanistan. U.S. warplanes pounded insurgents holed up in caves in the region following a gunfight between the militants and American troops. U.S. military spokesman says no Americans were hurt in the clashes, which happened yesterday. There's no word on casualties among the insurgents. Both Taliban-led militants and U.S. forces have been stepping up operations across southern and eastern Afghanistan, recently sparking a series of clashes that killed dozens of militants and several American soldiers. Militants are accused of trying to sabotage the country's first post-Taliban election slated for September. Iraq's new Prime Minister Iyad Alawi has told the United Nations Security Council his government will solely control its armed forces and coordinate a joint military operations and security policy in full partnership with the U.S.-led multinational force. Alawi sent a letter to the Security Council that contained the message discussed at the special session of the Security Council over the weekend. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Are your glasses or contacts driving you nuts? Have you considered laser vision correction but just aren't sure it's right for you yet? If this sounds like you, then listen to this surprising story from the world's greatest golfer, Tiger Woods.
Hi, this is Tiger Woods. For years, I played golf with an invisible handicap. It was my contact lenses. My eyes would sting, burn, and water, all the while I was trying to concentrate on championship golf.
Then Tiger discovered what he described as a miracle from the doctors at TLC Laser Eye Centers.
I had the LASIK procedure with the TLC Laser laser eye center surgeon, and the results were fabulous.
Imagine being less dependent on glasses and contact lenses.
I'm 20/20 with no contacts. It's unbelievable not to have to deal with the hassles and frustrations of glasses or contacts.
Call 1-800-700-8550 now for all the exciting details, including a free video and complimentary evaluation. Call now to find out more today. 1-800-700-8550. That's 1-800-700-8550.
We can't give our dads more ties for Father's Day.
Yeah, we need a more emotional tie.
Bad pun, but good idea. Let's name a star after them.
It's the best Father's Day gift ever. For $54, International Star Registry will record your star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office and send you a personalized gift package. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. That's 800-282-3333 or starregistry.com.
A star for Father's Day? A bright idea.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone. And since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter, but in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316, 800-LEAN-316.
Randy Rhodes.
Conservatives won't allow gays to marry because they'll cite studies that show that children of gay parents rarely grow up to be very strapping heterosexual men and women who one day put underwear on the heads of prisoners and throw naked bodies on the foreigners into piles and torture people with sexual humiliation. That very rarely happens when you come from a sensitive home.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mark Maron here along with Sue Ellicott and Mark Riley on Air America Radio. It's 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning. Reagan is dead. It's Monday. We've got a lot of things going on here. We've had a great show. We had, I don't want to talk about what we had. Let's talk about what's coming. We got Carl Levin. Senator Carl Levin is going to talk to us about a little bit about Reagan and the war on terror. That's all coming up. We've got, the liberal agenda, all the funny stuff. Right now I'm joined by Mark Riley, who is here. Sue Ellicott is out ill today.
Feel better, Sue.
Feel better, Sue. We're in the midst of an email barrage. I mean, it only took me one day to get completely, nauseated with this post-mortem stroke fest. And if I recall correctly, he really wasn't the greatest president. And, we have many examples of that, which we'll get to throughout the show. But I'd like to share some emails from our listeners. This is from Roger out there in Washington, Vashon Island, which is out where near where my wife comes from. If in the midst of the current boo-hoo-hooing and gush of pans to the great communicator, you would like a reminder of some of the highlights of the oh-so-wonderful Ronnie years, here's a great place to start. He gives www.quickchange.com/Reagan/. My disgust for what Reagan and his minions did to this country has been lessened neither by the passage of time nor by his physical departure. Don't speak ill of the dead. Forget it. Pre-Reagan, there was a political discourse in this country in which both sides could actually communicate and achieve positive results for the good of the country. Prime example, Nixon, for all his many faults, did have some positive accomplishments, such as the creation of the EPA. It was Reagan, along with his minions and his ultra-right, wacko, Bible-thumping supporters, who set this country on the course resulting in the extreme political divisions we have today. Some more sentiments. From Ian, Vancouver. Dear Mark and Mark, I'm glad that Reagan's dead, and I have the exact amount of compassion for him that he had for people with AIDS. None. He wouldn't even utter the acronym during his dismal presidency.
I'm going to stop by that one.
I'm going to stop that one there. But, you know, I mean, we've been talking about that a little bit today. And also, you know, some of the policies that he put into place, he armed the Iranians in exchange for the hostages in order to solidify his, you know, his presidency, his election, which was dirty, low-down, covert op BS, right? And also set the world on course for some of the stuff we're paying for now. He then armed the Iraqis to fight the Iranians, who he secretly armed. He sent Donald Rumsfeld there in 1983 to smooth over everything and say, like, you know, how you doing, buddy? We're here.
My man,
right? And that sort of led to, you know, a lot of this situation. And, of course, Saddam became our enemy, no longer our business partner. And over a period of time, you know, many of the missiles and many of the arms that are being fired at Americans right now are from that original, you know, Reagan stash.
Well, you know, we ought to, as we hit on these various and sundry things, the emailer hit on something that is crucially, crucially important. Ronald Reagan, at a time when he could have done so much more to fight what was becoming an epidemic of acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, he did little or nothing. And there are those who will argue that many, many people died because of the inactivity of the federal government during the time when AIDS became, I guess, made the transition from a disease to a pandemic.
Well, that, you know, this became, you know, sort of, we have to talk about Rumsfeld a little bit, but this became the pandemic that it is. But, you know, this was a policy that Reagan, you know, really was the first guy to really make it okay politically to blame the victim.
Yes.
You know, that, you know, it was the moral transgressions of the people with AIDS that gave them AIDS. It was the poor's fault that they were poor. You know, it was on and on with this. So, you know, and this is a guy that, you know, even though people think he was such a great president. I mean, his average approval rating over the course of his presidency was 52%. That's worse than Clinton. It's worse than the first Bush. It's worse than Johnson, Kennedy, Eisenhower.
Eisenhower?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's from the information that I have.
No, your information is correct. And, you know, it's funny when you bring up Donald Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, served, I think, started in the Nixon administration.
Uh-huh.
He's been around for a while. And you fast forward now to 2004, and Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, is still around. And he is still promoting a variation of the same Cold War agenda that he promoted during the Nixon years and the Reagan years. And even during the Clinton years, when he wasn't even a part of government.
Except they've replaced some of the phrasing.
Oh, yeah. They've replaced the phrasing.
It's not communism, it's terrorism. And it's not a country we're after, or a series of countries that, you know, all are under the same political banner. It is now a method terrorism that is not nation-specific. And according to Rumsfeld, this is from Rumsfeld's mouth, folks.
Yes.
Despite considerable progress, the reality is that today we remain closer to the beginning of the struggle than to its end. It's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this. He's talking about the war on terror. This is...
Which he coordinated.
We don't have a coherent approach to this. He is saying that we're losing. And, you know... And, yeah, we have
a piece of sound of Donald Rumsfeld talking about the dimensions of the war on terror.
How many more of those folks are being trained and developed and organized and deployed and sent out to work the seams and the shadows and the caves? And each year that goes by, we have a growing likelihood that they're going to have their hands on increasingly lethal capabilities.
Oh, my God, wait.
Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign.
Yeah, so we're losing, and this is a guy, this is a president that says that we're winning the war on terror, that there's actually progress. And, you know, according to the International Institute of Strategic Studies, this is released May 25th, we've had this for a while, that, you know, that the Iraq conflict has arguably focused the energies and resources of al-Qaeda and its followers while diluting those of the global counterterrorism coalition that appeared so formidable after the Afghan intervention. By doing what they did in Iraq, and now he's admitting to not having a plan. We've always known they didn't have a plan. They've literally created a haven for terrorist activity and a place from which terrorists can be dispatched internationally, you know, and communicate with each other freely, just about.
Well, see, the ultimate cynicism to what Donald Rumsfeld said in that soundbite is the idea that his Defense Department and his boss in the White House know good and damn well exactly where these terrorists are getting their material. All right, they're not just they're not manufacturing their own bombs by and large. They're not manufacturing their own Stinger missiles. We conquered the country, for God's sake. They don't have the wherewithal to do that anymore. And the fact is that the ability to smuggle these weapons, the ability of these terrorists to procure these weapons, the seeds for that ability were planted during the Reagan years.
Right.
All right?
Yes.
By the same Donald Rumsfeld who is now telling us, well, they have access to weapons all over the place. Well, yeah, because
you gave it.
Put the infrastructure in place, pal. You did. So America owes you. If we don't owe Ronald Reagan anything, we owe Donald Rumsfeld a debt of gratitude for putting us in a position. And by the way, the scariest thing this guy is saying is that there's going to be another attack. It's going to happen inside America. We can't stop it. And more people are going to die. Do people realize it? That was the thing, Mark, that struck me about going out to watch these National Guardsmen.
Yeah.
Because I was conflicted about it at first. I went, for those of you who are just joining us, I went to the Teaneck Armory in New Jersey on Saturday morning at 7 o'clock to watch the National Guardsmen and applaud them as they went off to get trained to go to Iraq. And I did that. I was conflicted about it because I felt like, well, you know, you're kind of supporting the war by doing that. And a lot of the people there were supporting the war. But then I tore a page from Mark Maron's book, which says it doesn't matter why everybody else was there. I was there for my reasons for being there. And to be quite honest with you, it was my daughter who showed the way because she's 7 years old and she saw nothing wrong with being absolutely against the war but saying that she applauded the troops. There was no problem with that. But I realized that these people are putting themselves in harm's way. They're the ones that are going to end up having to deal with car bombs. They're the ones that are going to have to deal with the sum total of the failure, the utter failure of this policy, this interventionist policy, this unilateral policy that has its roots in Ronald Reagan but has become manifest in George W. Bush.
It's unbelievable. You know what really amazes me is how anybody it can be on the fence about this president. You know, and everything you say is articulated beautifully and really, you know, you really put it it's like you look at these guys, they're people that are put in a position to where they have to do this task. You know, whether we like the task or not, you have to, you know, look at them as people and realize that this president does not even reach out properly to these troops. They don't arm them properly. They don't treat them properly when they come home.
Nope.
You know, there's many complaints about, you know, veterans' benefits in terms of health care and how they're treated, you know, by hospitals when they get back. And I just don't understand, you know, how anybody can, you know, and now all that Bush has is a vain attempt to attach himself. I swear to God, if it were possible for a dead two-term president to run again, you know, Bush would have him as his running mate. I really believe that the ticket would be, you know, vote for Bush and the dead Reagan in 2004.
Well, see, the irony there is that Bush has a father who was also a president.
Criminal.
But who does he hearken to? He doesn't look to his old man as a role model. I did. But maybe I'm different. He looks to Ronald Reagan.
And the higher father.
Yes,
perhaps
the
higher father that Reagan talked to. Well, that's an amazing thing. You know, I wonder about those discussions because, you know, as you said, George the First was on the Today Show, you know, sort of, you know, waxing,
yes.
You know.
Nostalgic.
Waxing
about
nostalgic.
About his former enemy, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, all he did was sit around and just hope to God the guy wouldn't, you know, would get out of the way so he could be president.
Well, remember, they ran against each other in 1980.
Right.
Reagan whipped his behind
in
1980.
I wonder how George Sr. feels that his son, you know, completely dismisses
his presidency.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's got to be harsh. I mean, you know, who's going to win the Oedipal struggle in that
one? It's got to hurt.
Yeah. So, still ahead, we'll take your calls. No, that's not right, is it? Yes, we'll take
Ronald
Reagan, and we have the Dream Diary up next, and Carl Levin's going to be here, and a lot of bile and excitement. So stay tuned here on Air America Radio, please.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Meistert, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance.
Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Good morning. It's Dead Reagan Monday here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I'm Mark Maron. This is Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is out sick.
Tickling the funnies.
All right. Look, you know, it's serious here. It's so serious, I got to do my dream diary. This is, of course, the much-loved, much-hated dream diary that I write down my dreams every day from last night in order to share them with my therapist on Thursday. I share them here first. Here we go. I'm a pollster. I go door-to-door taking the pulse of America. And sometimes after I take America's pulse, I take its blood pressure. And I collect fluid samples in little jars that I carry with me everywhere. It's not necessary, but I'm thorough. Questions. So many questions. Knock, knock. Who's there? This isn't some cheesy joke you learned in sixth grade. This is Mark Maron, super pollster. Hey, do you think Bush is doing a good job prosecuting the war in Iraq? If so, why are you such an incredible retard? Why do you think is... Who do you think is tougher on terrorism, George W. Bush or a yak with syphilis? Do you think Dick Cheney should be sent to Abu Ghraib? Do you think Donald Rumsfeld wears a garter belt and panties under his clothes? On a scale from, you know, of 1 to 10, what do you think of me, huh? What do you think of me, huh? Tonight, the light of love is in your eyes, but will you still love me tomorrow? Could you fill this jar for me? Come on, fill it. Come on. All day long, ringing doorbells, ding-dong. Uh-oh, it's Jesus. Do you approve of the job the president is doing? Jesus says, no, not really, Mark. The negative ads are a real turnoff. Do unto others as you, well, you know the rest. Do you approve of this tie? Then make me wear it. Jesus says, I never wore a tie. I don't see why you should have to. One last question, Jesus. What is the meaning of life? Jesus says, Mark, I gotta go. I got something on the stove. Lose the tie. I woke up and my bed was filled with loose-fitting dungarees. What could that be about?
About a minute and a half.
Okay. Look at me. I'm all excited.
There you go.
I shouldn't be this excited. It's morning in America, M-O-U.
Uh-huh.
All right, here we go. Let me pull it together.
There you go.
Okay, time now for our Salon.com story of the day. Village Voice political reporter, a Rick Perlstein author of Before the Storm, has today's story, and no surprise, it's about Ronald Reagan. Rick, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing
been all right, considering.
Good
look,
morning.
Am I talking out of school here? Is, you know, was Reagan a much better president than I'm able to give him credit for?
Well, you know, I got to admit, Mark, I haven't been listening. It's 6:20 where I am. But he has moments. I mean, I think he did something that was very brave. He sat down with Gorbachev, and he acted very concertedly to try and reduce the amount of nuclear weapons in the world.
So you're saying that he made a peaceful attempt to negotiate?
Oh, he did, yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you will you tell us a little bit about that? How'd that play out?
Well, they did it pretty well. You know, there's some debate over, you know, how he did it and whether he did it the right way. But basically in 1983, this is not something you'll necessarily read in the eulogies.
Yeah.
The world almost ended.
Okay.
Not for the first time. Hopefully, you know, for the last.
You know, I'm afraid, Rick, that that might be happening now and we don't know it.
Yeah. Well, one thing I think is, you know, Bush, bad as he is, there probably isn't as great a chance that Bush is going to, inspire a full-blown nuclear exchange with, Russia.
How does Bush compare?
Well, let me just make this point.
Well, okay, I'm sorry.
The world almost ended in 1983. You know, Reagan had been, you know, going around talking about the evil empire, talking about we begin bombing in 5 minutes and, you know, basically scaring the rest of the world. NATO does a very kind of a routine kind of war game kind of exercise, and the Soviet Union thinks that we're getting ready to attack. So they put their missiles on alert.
Uh-huh.
And according to historians, we came pretty close. Both sides were kind of eyeing each other warily. And Reagan, to his credit, said, this has to stop. We have to negotiate with the Soviet Union about reducing nuclear weapons. So that's what I give him credit for.
Okay. Did Ronald Reagan actually bluff the Soviets into spending more money than they actually had on their military and thereby hastening their departure?
Well, here's what I get at in this article I have up on Salon today. That's what you're going to read over and over and over again today, you know, in the obituaries. That's what you're going to see on CNN. That's what you're going to hear. Reagan ended the Cold War. Now, I can't say that Reagan didn't end the Cold War. I can't say that Reagan did end the Cold War. What I can say is that there's a debate. And what conservatives have been able to do is, you know, the conservative noise machine doesn't only work, you know, on the front pages of the newspapers, they also try and control history.
Right.
And what they're trying to do is get rid of the debate. They're trying to make it say it's an open and shut case. Reagan was the greatest hero since Winston Churchill. End of story. And my argument in this Salon piece is that this was a political attempt, consciously, by conservatives like Grover Norquist, to try to kind of fool us into remembering Reagan as some guy that was always popular all the time, always heroic all the time, and that makes it a lot easier to kind of make Reagan-style conservatism seem like the natural kind of American ideology, when it really isn't.
We're talking to Rick Perlstein, author of Before the Storm, and he has today's Salon.com story of the day. But, you know, I've got numbers here that say he really wasn't that popular.
No, he was about equally popular as Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton left office, of course, he was much more popular than when Reagan left office.
And you write in your article that he was a sellout.
Well, I think by conservatives' own terms, a lot of them did consider him a sellout. In 1971, when he was governor of California, a bunch of Californian conservatives tried to recall him because he had, you know, passed so many tax hikes.
Wow.
I mean, that's the sellout image. But conservatives would consider him a sellout, and they did consider him a sellout. A lot of the neocons today who are saying they want a neo-Reaganite foreign policy, people like the Norman Podhoretzes of the world,
mm-hmm.
criticize Reagan all the time for not being tough enough.
So, but you know, in light of what's happening now, I mean, don't you find it appalling that, you know, he is going to be redefined posthumously, and they're going to try to, George Bush is going to try and, you know, attach himself to this legacy?
Well, isn't that kind of sad? I mean, isn't that kind of evidence of a movement and a presidency in decline?
It's the only angle he has to work anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people when they die are remembered, you know, very warmly. I mean, even Nixon. You know, the important thing is not to say, they shouldn't celebrate him in death, but I just want to remind people that we can argue about Reagan. You know, if mainstream folks who don't really have a stake in this fight one way or the other start getting this idea in their head that Reagan is Abraham Lincoln, that Reagan is George Washington, that we have to unquestioningly revere him, then, in my opinion, the conservatives will have won one more partisan fight to define reality in America.
Okay, right on. So we'll keep that in mind this morning. Thank you, Rick Perlstein. Rick's got the Salon.com story of the day. Go check it out. He's also the author of Before the Storm.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the things that I think Ronald Reagan doesn't get enough responsibility for. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll get back to what Ronald Reagan doesn't get enough responsibility for. Because there are a number of things, but there is, specifically when it comes to people of color,
right.
Something,
yeah, we got to finish that conversation.
Yeah, he really does have to be called to account for that. When we come back, the Presidential Daily Briefing, Michigan Senator Carl Levin, and you, our listeners, on Ronald Reagan. This is Air America Radio.
Allergies hit you where it hurts most, your wallet.
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. America is saying a final goodbye this week to the late President Ronald Reagan, who died over the weekend at the age of 93. Reagan is being remembered by friends and foes alike as someone who was passionate about his vision for America. Among those remembering Reagan is Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, who said he is sorry that Reagan never stood trial for the 1986 Libyan airstrikes he ordered. Gaddafi says Reagan is solely responsible for the killing of his daughter. More violence in Saudi Arabia after Foreign Minister said yesterday that the government was doing all it can to thwart further attacks on its citizens and visitors. An Irish cameraman with the BBC was killed, and a British reporter suffered injuries in a shootout yesterday in Riyadh. And 9 major political parties have agreed to disband their militias in Iraq, except for the ones belonging to Muqtada al-Sadr, the radical Muslim cleric. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Being able to wake up every morning with Allison is kind of like having a sleepover with your best friend.
I love my husband. We have so much fun. We do everything together.
Imagine having the companionship of a best friend, the passion of true love, and a shared view of the most important things in life, all in one person. That kind of relationship would be something special, wouldn't it? Well, at eHarmony.com, these are exactly the kinds of relationships that result when couples are matched based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It is beyond joy to be able to come home to someone who really loves you.
Being seen and loved by that one person in the world with whom you are meant to be. At eHarmony.com, we don't think that's too much to ask for.
I cannot imagine life without Allison.
That's why if you're looking for your soulmate, check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
Hey, it's summertime, all right, and all that summer sun and heat you're taking in right now can really dry out your lips. So here's a little tip to help keep lips moisturized and protected. ChapStick Lip Moisturizer. That's right, ChapStick Lip Moisturizer's got SPF 15 and 10 moisturizers, like aloe and vitamin E, to moisturize summer dried lips and help keep them feeling great. Because summertime is ChapStick time, too. Use as directed.
The O'Franken Factor.
Monday on the O'Franken Factor, in honor of our 61st show, legendary baseball slugger Roger Maris will be our guest. Wait, he's dead.
What?
Morris. Roger Maris. Oh, yes, former Kissinger aide, who's called for the resignation of the entire Foreign Service to protest the Bush administration's mangled foreign policy. Oh, that's on Monday on the O'Franken Factor.
On Air America Radio.
Good morning, Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio with Mark Riley, Sue Ellicott out sick.
Good morning.
Of course, now I'm feeling like I'm getting a little sick.
Nah, man, you're fine. Don't worry.
We're taking your calls on Ronald Reagan at 866-303-AAR0. That's 866-303-2270. Sedition at airamericaradio.com. Got some emails.
Come on with them.
Yeah, okay, here we go. This is from Edie. As the daughter of a man nearly killed fighting Germans in World War II, I'd like to say how disgusted, once again, I am with the mainstream media and the reaction to Reagan's death. After all the buildup in Europe, lights, camera, action, to celebrate and honor the greatest generation in D-Day, Reagan dies, and all of a sudden it's greatest what? D-what? Look for them. To use the upcoming week to burn off all that footage of all those Allied graves, etc., along with continuing their vigil as Reagan fights valiantly to remain dead. To paraphrase Chevy Chase.
You know, that's a point that emailer makes in terms of how quickly all of the Normandy commemorations were blown out of the media stage, off the media stage, I should say. By the news of Reagan's death. When an American president dies, yeah, there is, you know, people are going to pay attention. People are going to be very somber, like Katie Couric and them on the Today Show, whatever. But, you know, for someone who has a loved one who died during the Second World War and who was really looking forward to seeing the commemoration of D-Day,
yeah,
they got shorted.
They got
extremely shortchanged.
Adam in New Jersey, how are you?
Good morning.
What's
morning.
Up, buddy?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I have reverence for the man. You know, he died. He was a president. But, you know, my father has Alzheimer's, as a lot of people are going through this. And so I have empathy in regards to that. But I also have a great uncle who was blacklisted back in the 50s during the McCarthy era. And I believe Reagan pretty much sold out the actors and gave up names. I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, he was definitely affiliated with the McCarthy people.
He was certainly accused of having done so. Remember that Ronald Reagan at one time was the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
Thanks for your call, Adam. Yeah, and I think that if we did a little research, I'm sure we could find some of the guys who were within McCarthy's world, you know, probably ended up, you know, being political, if anyone knows that, being political affiliates of Ronald Reagan. Glenn in Long Island. Glenn?
Good morning.
How are
good
you?
Good morning, Glenn.
Okay. I credit Ronald Reagan, actually, with the beginnings of the great age of deception in the Republican Party by his perfecting the half-truth.
Absolutely.
The example that comes to mind for me is the Standard Administration line was, we have more money available for student aid than ever before in the history of this country.
Yeah.
And that was absolutely true. But what they didn't tell you was, they changed the qualifications, so less people qualified. So the money just sat there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I wonder what happened to that money.
Well,
where'd that go?
Yeah, and again, that caller brings up part of the structure, what seems to be the structure of the Republican Party, which is to tell these, you know, kind of shade the truth just a little bit. Like, you lose 2.3 million jobs, but, you know, we created a million. So suddenly that million, the million jobs creation looks like it's a big deal, but they don't tell you that there was more than 2 million lost.
Isn't that kind of lying?
Kind of, sort of.
I mean, if I did that in a relationship, please call us, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. We're taking your calls. We're going to take a break now. We're coming back with you. Senator Carl Levin is going to be here, and it's a good show here on Air America Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband, Michael, at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband, Tom, through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband, Jack, on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can.
Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Forty past the hour. This is Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. Sue Ellicott out sick.
Hey.
We want to hear what you have to say about Ronald Reagan. We're at 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Now it's time for to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, the highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Sometimes he reads it, sometimes not. Today's PDB, history creates bad impression. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the death of former President Reagan is stirring historical comparisons to you, posing an imminent danger to your presidency. Although you have often compared yourself to Reagan, as well as to Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, Abraham Lincoln, and in a private drunken moment, Eddie Van Halen, historical comparisons are not good news for this administration. Standing next to President Reagan will only emphasize that he was taller than you, told better jokes, declared more realistic wars, and pronounced most of his words correctly. Avoiding Reagan's shadow will only put off this threat until the next time you're compared to someone more competent. You must eliminate history itself. A massive book burning can clear up some of the problem. Beyond that, we suggest changing the year from 2004 to zero. This may also fool everyone into thinking it's 2,000 years ago and that it's legal for you to crush political opponents with rocks. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
Mm.
There you go. Jim in New York City. How are you, Jim?
Hey, Jim.
You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
Okay. I was just thinking about the Reagan years, and I never liked the guy, and I always thought I was being sold a bill of goods, you know. And in a way, it's like it would be like confusing Tony Soprano with James Gandolfini to look at Reagan. I believe he did act as president.
Yes.
And he kind of hoodwinked a lot of people. But I look at, you know, like the post-presidency of Jimmy Carter,
right.
A man of character who actually works for peace on Earth. He works for Habitat for Humanity, promotes just a good agenda. And I look at, like, Bush Sr. and, I don't know, Reagan, of course, was debilitated with Alzheimer's. But what are these guys promoting? Where is their true character when contrasted with Carter, who was portrayed in the media as ineffectual and possibly weak?
Yeah, and he was a good-hearted guy, a real humanitarian guy, and apparently economic growth after his presidency, the GDP, the jobs, the revenues were all positive when Carter left, and Reagan plunged the country into its worst deficit up until that point. Craig in Queens, what's up, man? Craig?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
Craig.
Okay, yeah. Listen, let me tell you guys the way I remember it. I remember Ronald Reagan when he got rid of affirmative action, and I just remember when he first came in as president, he basically said, look, you know, the first thing I'm doing is I'm getting rid of affirmative action. And once he did that, it was like, it was basically like, you know, all the jobs and, you know, these companies said, well, thank you, you know, we don't need you anymore. And you couldn't get like you know, a grant to go to school. You couldn't get loans or anything, but that's the way I remember it.
Well, let me tell you a little something from that time, okay? Because the person that actually created affirmative action on paper was an African-American by the name of Arthur Fletcher, who worked not for a Democrat, but for Richard Nixon, who had been president a scant 10 years before Reagan took office.
Right.
When Reagan began to go after affirmative action, Arthur Fletcher, and I know this because I interviewed him at the time, wrote Reagan a letter and said, look, affirmative action is a Republican program. If it is properly instituted, it discriminates against no one. Please don't get rid of it. Ronald Reagan totally ignored, and Arthur Fletcher, by the way, was a black Republican, and he totally ignored Arthur Fletcher. He even had black people in his cabinet, not in his cabinet, in his sub-cabinet, in some of those far-flung
jurisdictions. What does that mean? The cleaning
he didn't have any brothers working for him at the top level, not back then.
No, I know. I mean, it seems like he would have liked to, you know, gotten all the black people out of the way if he could.
Yeah, if he could. And see, this carries across not just black people in America, but people of color all over the world. If you go south of Florida and ask people about Ronald, ask people in Mexico about Ronald Reagan, ask people in Guatemala,
Nicaragua,
El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras, Chile, all of these different places, Argentina.
Yeah.
Talk to them about Ronald Reagan.
There were a lot of the people that had opinions about him are like, you know, buried in mass grave and unknown. We'll take one more call quickly. Saul, quickly.
Hey, Saul.
Yes, sir.
What do you got quickly? Not
well,
a lot of time.
I remember that Reagan made a deal with the PATGO, the control towers, control tower operators, and the deal was that if you support me, I'm going to give you that downtime. It was not money. It was downtime.
Right.
We understand that. We understand the tension that you have up there, you know.
Right.
And PATGO did support him.
And then the downtime went on a little forever.
Didn't bother me that he punished them.
Yeah.
But how about a pretty decent guy saying, hey, I'm going to dock you for a week's pay.
Right.
I'm going to take off 2 weeks' pay.
Right.
Fired 11,000 people.
Bastard.
Fired them.
Yep.
Geez, I'm not a control tower. I was a radio operator.
That must have been rough.
World War II. It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saved lives.
Thank you very much for your call, Saul. I appreciate it.
You know, he again, and our call is making some great points today, but 11,000 air traffic control workers were fired by Ronald Reagan, and, you know, they then had to train 11,000 people to take their place. Not a small undertaking.
Disrespect for the union. We'll be back with Senator Carl Levin in Recovery Corner, and you know, thanks for being with us here on Air America Radio.
Home. It's the place you like to make warm and inviting. What could be more welcoming than the aroma of fresh coffee brewing? When a coffee is Starbucks, the experience only gets richer. You'll find Starbucks coffee at your grocery store, so you can enjoy it at home. Its distinctive roasting style and rich, authentic taste show how seriously we pursue the art of coffee. Savor its aroma, then pour a cup and invite your senses to take flight. Starbucks coffee at your grocery store.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
Claims come.
Helps your car warm up faster.
Is even better than before.
Now with Mylotron.
And claims go.
More powerful.
Faster.
It's carburetor friendly.
But quality is still quality. And that's why year after year, Amoco gasolines at BP are rated number one in quality in nationwide surveys by drivers like you. Drivers also buy more Amoco Ultimate than any other premium fuel. In fact, it's the best-selling premium gasoline in America. That's not a claim. It's a fact. Amoco Ultimate cleans up and keeps clean vital parts in your car's engine that affect performance. That's why continued use of Ultimate can give you smooth acceleration, less hesitation, and good fuel economy. Continued use also provides less harmful emissions that help keep the air cleaner. So are you going to believe what you hear?
Makes your engine purr like a puma.
Or are you going to believe what drivers like you keep experiencing? More performance and less pollution with Amoco Ultimate at BP.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Good morning. Good morning, Sedition.
Good morning.
Sue Ellicott's out sick. Mark Riley's here. I'm Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks, you guys.
What's up?
Well, in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. And today, as always, I'm reaching out to my sponsee, George W. Hey, George W., buddy, I know you're feeling a little upstaged by the death of your hero. I know that your inner circle is becoming suspect of your leadership abilities, and some are jumping ship. And I, you know, all you really have is Cheney in your corner, and without him, you wouldn't have Dick Cheney. The blame might fall on you, my friend. I know you're stressed. Word has it that you're losing it a little bit. People who work for you are saying that you're walking around mumbling Bible passages, cursing and talking to yourself. Your spiritual connection doesn't seem to be holding. The idea of you running on self-will is scary for everyone on the planet. You know, I've been where you are before. Really, I have, George. It's either drink or surrender. Only you know what you need to do. Hell, maybe you need to do a little more research. Maybe your bottom wasn't low enough. Just please, please, don't take us all down with you, all right? Remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knee before you bend your elbow. One day at a time. Denial is not a river in Egypt. Sobriety is a journey, not a destination. Get to a meeting. There you go. That's Recovery Corner. That was actually a fairly earnest Recovery Corner from me. Yeah, it gets scary, you know, when you hear that the president is, you know, walking around the halls of the White House, you know, mumbling and cursing and,
well,
calling everybody, you know, now, enemy of the state.
I have to do a correction.
Yes,
I said earlier that Ronald Reagan did not, in fact, have a black member of his cabinet, and he did. Housing secretary, that is. Samuel Pierce.
Okay.
Who
all
I had
right.
forgotten about. I forgot that he was, in fact, there. And there were a couple of others. There was a guy who headed up the Commission on Civil Rights, which he kind of changed the focus of, Reagan did during his presidency. And I've forgotten his name and don't want to misspeak by calling the wrong one. But that was not really a cabinet-level post. But Sam Pierce was, in fact, the housing secretary.
But it wasn't enough, was it, Riley?
Well, I mean, remember that during Sam Pierce's tenure as housing secretary, essentially the federal government got out of the housing business. They just split.
Well, right now, joining us is a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Democratic senator from Michigan, Carl Levin. Senator, what's your reaction been to the coverage of Ronald Reagan's death and his legacy?
Well, it's, I think, to be expected that when a president passes on, that the country will take stock and remember the president. And I think when people pass on, people always remember the positive, and that's the way it should be.
Okay. Well, let's move right into the intelligence stuff. I mean, was Tenet really the problem, or is he being made a scapegoat?
He's part of the problem.
Of course.
Half the problem was the intelligence which was produced, which was defective. They were full of omissions and full of errors. Why it was so far off, I think you have to speculate as to whether or not they were trying just to please the policymakers by giving them what they wanted to hear. That's one logical explanation, but I don't think you're going to get people who are going to say that explicitly.
What, that he was sort of bullied into giving the information they wanted?
Well, it wouldn't be bullied, that he would want to give them the information, that he was loyal to them and would want to provide information, which is what they would want to hear to support their policy.
Right,
they wanted to go into Iraq, I think it's obvious that the intelligence shifted after 9/11 to be much more hard-edged in terms of weapons of mass destruction. Being present in Iraq, it was much, much clearer in terms of the assessments which came out after 9/11. And so you get the feeling, at least, that the intelligence folks were trying to please the policymakers by telling them what they want to hear. And if you believe the Woodward book, when the president first heard the summary of the intelligence, he said, you know, kind of, is that all? Is that it?
Yeah.
And so that sent the signal, you got to have more than that for me than that, and they produced it. On the other hand, the policymakers took what was given to them, even with all of the exaggerations, and exaggerated it further, because they went way beyond. When I say they, we're talking here President, Vice President, Secretary of Defense, Condi Rice, Secretary of State. They went beyond blown-up intelligence, the exaggerated intelligence which was handed to them. So there's a lot of responsibility here that lies both with the CIA for being so far off, but also with the policymakers.
Right. Is his leaving going to make a big difference? It makes me a little nervous in some ways.
Well, a big difference in the sense that I think they're going to be more cautious in terms of assessments they give just because they were so far off. And after all, they said there were not only absolutely weapons of mass destruction, that it was certain, it was a slam dunk and all that, but they also had about 110 high-level suspect sites where there were weapons of mass destruction, and they batted zero for 110. You can't get much further off than that. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're going to be a lot more cautious. I think that would have been true, actually, whether he was there or not.
Our guest is Senator Carl Levin of Michigan. He is a Democrat and member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Senator Levin, the CIA has reportedly had your report, the Intelligence Committee's report, on some of its failures, both with 9/11 and the run-up to the war in Iraq, for about a month. Do you think that they will react at all now that George Tenet is no longer director? Do you expect there to be some official reaction from the agency to what some people see as a very damaging report?
Well, the report is damaging. That's clear. I mean, I've read it. I've gone over it, made suggestions for changes, so I'm into it.
How damaging? In what areas?
In all the areas. They're just, in terms of the production of intelligence, it is highly critical of the way in which intelligence was shaped, the omissions, the failures, the commissions, the distortions. It's just a very, very devastating analysis of the intelligence which was produced. And again, this is just phase one. By its own terms, it does not get into phase two, which is the use of the intelligence or misuse or exaggeration of the intelligence by the policymakers. But this stops where the policymakers hand over. Where the intelligence producers hand over to the policymakers the product. And it is very, very critical, and I think was a factor in George Tenet's deciding to leave, because it would have plunged him into a real strong defense of what happened, or a mea culpa, one or the other.
Now, it says the Senator, Director Tenet said it would take 5 years for the CIA to rebuild its clandestine operations. Is the Intelligence Committee report basically agreeing with that? Will it take that long?
It doesn't really go into that. That's not the purpose of the of this report. The Intelligence Committee in the Senate was looking just at the mistakes and the failures prior to the war on Iraq. We're not going back into the 9/11 failures. That was done already with a joint investigation with the House Intelligence Committee, which was highly critical. This was about a year ago. It was highly critical, both of the FBI and the CIA, for missing all kinds of clues and all kinds of warnings which we had prior to 9/11. But that report now was done about a year, year and a half ago. This report is not by a joint House-Senate committee. The one that we're talking about is just by a Senate Intelligence Committee staff.
Senator, one final very quick question. There's talk about splitting the job of CIA director in half. Would you support such a move?
I don't know yet. frankly. I don't want to just create another layer of bureaucracy, but I want to get politics out of it. I think there was just too much politics, too much policy. That's not what the CIA director is supposed to do. They're supposed to give us the objective, unvarnished analysis. That's not what George Tenet gave to George Bush, and that's probably not what George Bush really wanted, because I think he wanted to be given the ammunition to support his attack on Iraq.
Thank you very much for joining us,
sure.
Senator
Thank
Carl Levin from Michigan, a member of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Some interesting information there from him.
Well, I'll tell you what, if he's not in favor, and if a majority of Democrats on the committee are not in favor of splitting the job in half, and by the way, there's a Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee who's proposed that. If he's not in favor of it, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't like the sound of molding intelligence.
No one should. We're not finished. In the next hour of morning's edition of Presidential Palm Pilot, comedian Sherrod Small and the all-important liberal agenda. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Air America Radio.
NBC's new summer season starts tonight with Fear Factor and a spectacular stunt involving a moving car and a semi.
You do the math.
Then, at 9, 8 Central, the premiere of For Love or Money with a new twist. The women could be playing for $1 million or a single buck. And they'll never know how much, but he will.
If he is playing me, I'm going to kill him.
NBC's new summer season starts tonight with Fear Factor and the premiere of For Love or Money.
I'll just see who that is then.
Oh no! South American killer bees! They're going for my eyes!
A swarm of killer bees. That's one thing you don't want in your house. One thing you do want in your house is a better looking roof with Plictanium plywood from Georgia Pacific. Other roof sheathing materials can swell at the edges, creating an unsightly checkerboard pattern under your shingles. Plictanium roofs provide a more uniform surface. Plictanium plywood. Build it better.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the flagship station of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It will be an official week of mourning for former President Ronald Reagan, who died over the weekend at the age of 93. He had weathered a 10-year battle with Alzheimer's disease. Tributes from friends, political foes, and many Americans punctuated the media air. Over the weekend, his word surfaced about the passing of the 40th president. Those who had long been critical of Reagan's populist conservative brand of politics were complimentary in the end, citing Reagan's sunny outlook about America's future. He has been described as one man who single-handedly changed the course of the Republican National Party because of his brand of populist conservatism. Still others remember him for considerable changes he made within the ranks of the American labor movement. This with authorizing the mass firing of air traffic controllers, deregulating the broadcast industry and other labor issues. But the biggest scandal of his two terms in the White House, Iran-Contra, followed him into retirement, with many criticizing his handling of the White House at that particular time. Iran-Contra affair, as it's known, surfaced from the disclosure that Reagan himself authorized secret arms sales to Iran while seeking Iran's help to gain release of American hostages held in Lebanon. Some of the money Iran paid was used without his knowledge, Reagan insisted, to aid the Contras fighting the then Marxist government in Nicaragua. Former U.S. Ambassador to Honduras, John Negroponte, whose work now figures prominently in the Bush administration's effort to stabilize Iraq, remembered Reagan for his humor. Reagan, according to Negroponte, appeared preoccupied with humor even before holding some of his most important meetings.
He invariably started off every meeting with the latest jokes he had heard. We used up about at least 5 to 7 minutes of our 30 minutes of time. He even kept them in his drawer. I remember he used to pull them out.
Former U.S. Ambassador John Negroponte, one of Bush administration's point people in Iraqi transition to sovereignty. Thousands of Americans will have the opportunity to pay their personal respects to President Reagan by viewing his casket in California and Washington, D.C. At noon today, Reagan's body will lie in repose at his presidential library in Simi Valley, California, about 40 miles northwest of Los Angeles. The public will be able to visit until tomorrow evening. American forces are seeing some intense action in southern Afghanistan. U.S. warplanes pounded insurgents holed up in caves in the region following a gunfight between the militants and American troops. U.S. military spokesman says no Americans were hurt in the clashes, which happened yesterday. There's no word on casualties among the insurgents. Both Taliban-led militants and U.S. forces have been stepping up operations across southern and eastern Afghanistan, recently sparking a series of clashes that killed dozens of militants and several American soldiers. And a breakthrough developments in Iraq this morning. 9 major political parties have agreed to disband the militias. This, according to the interim prime minister, the agreement does not include militias of radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
This year, you're going to quit smoking. Whether you've said it for years or you're trying for the first time, there's a revolutionary new system that's guaranteed to help you succeed or your money back. The smoking solution components have already helped thousands of ex-smokers kick the habit permanently. We guarantee you'll be completely smoke-free and cravings-free in as little as 7 days or your money back. Unlike gums or patches, the smoking solution is a complete system that includes natural herbs to curb your cravings safely without nicotine. We also include the slimming solution to fight weight gain, powerful antioxidants to help heal your lungs and body, and much, much more. Best of all, the smoking solution system works fast. In as little as 1 week, we can help you kick the habit once and for all. Come on, aren't you willing to give yourself 1 week to quit? Whether you're doing it for yourself or for the ones you love, the smoking solution system is the fast, guaranteed answer. In as little as 1 week, you'll kick the habit for good or your money back.
To order risk-free, call 1-800-305-2704. That's 1-800-305-2704. Call 1-800-305-2704 now.
Bills, bills, bills. Paying my bills. Adding, subtracting. Ooh, dividing.
Humdrum tasks can't get this woman down.
Water bill, cable bill, phone bill. Fun. Oops. I forgot to carry the one.
Thanks to the Afternoon Lull-Define Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like decadent double chocolate and sweet cherry crunch.
Write the check, put it in the envelope, lick it, flip, add a stamp.
Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Fight the lull. Be great.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially. Your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Listen to Air America Radio whenever and wherever you want. We're available 24/7 on the internet. Just hit our website, www.airamericaradio.com. All you need to do is complete a quick online registration. Once that's done, you're ready to take us live. Air America uses the Real One Player for our streaming. www.airamericaradio.com. Streaming now, live, 24/7. www.airamericaradio.com.
Hey, I'm Mark Maron with Stu Ellicott and Mark Riley here on Air America Radio. It's 6 minutes past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, Ronald Reagan is dead. President Bush tries to make his Palm Pilot work, but Barbara Streisand faxes in today's liberal agenda. That's all coming up. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley. Stu Ellicott is out sick today. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Get well soon.
Hope you're feeling better.
Man, I have had it, dude. I have had it with this, you know, postmortem stroke fest that's going on, you know, the mainstream media outlets, okay? You know, I'll try to have a little respect for our dead president, but, I mean, let's not, you know, reinvent this guy. This guy was not that great a president. I got some email here. I mean, you know, and honestly, just looking at the numbers, you know what I mean, in his approval ratings were really not that high. They just, no. They weren't, comparable. I've got the exact numbers here somewhere. But here's an email. Why do Democrats continue to let the Republicans rewrite history? They sit back while the Repugs continue to paint Reagan as a great president. Let it be known that we are presently fighting wars due to the happenings under his watch. It was then that Saddam Hussein was given the weapons of mass destruction, the backing for using those weapons, and the support of building his regime. It was also during this time under Reagan's watch that Osama bin Laden was trained and supported by the United States and supported in building his network, Al-Qaeda, in order to battle the Russians in Afghanistan. It was the Mujahideens, I guess, at that time. Yes. But, I mean, this is real stuff. And also, we've got some reports in that George Bush, this President George Bush, is no longer even cares about catching Osama bin Laden. He's more preoccupied with defeating John Kerry. He's more preoccupied in politicizing anything he can to beat John Kerry with, without taking responsibility for the chaos that is coming out of Iraq. I mean, I mean, Donald Rumsfeld, who went to Iraq for President Reagan to sort of, press the flesh with Saddam Hussein.
Back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, today, this is, Donald Rumsfeld. I'm quoting Donald Rumsfeld about the war on terror. Despite considerable progress, the reality is that today we remain closer to the beginning of this struggle than to its end. It's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this. Is he basically, I hope to God that this guy isn't, preparing us for the fact that, we're going to get hit. They've already said we're going to get hit, and he's already washing his hands of it before it happens. I hope that's not the issue. I'd rather just take him for his word and believe that this president is incapable of winning this war that he's declared, and that he has no idea what he's doing. And by, invading Iraq and staying in Iraq, he's created a terrorist manufacturing plant. And that, we're in trouble because of this president. I feel no safer. Mark?
Well, I mean, he created a quagmire that it may take some time for us to get out of. But I wanted to run those Reagan approval ratings because we got them right here. 52% over the course of the presidency. That's 1981 through 89. Worse than Clinton. Worse than George H.W. Bush. Worse than Lyndon Johnson. Worse than John F. Kennedy. And worse than Dwight David Eisenhower. His first year in office, and that was a month after his assassination attempt, 68% approval rating, best approval rating of the Reagan presidency. By the end of 1981, that same approval rating had dropped to 49%. 1982, economic recession, and this was, by the way, the year, 1982, when David Stockman, who was Reagan's budget director, went before the Congress and proposed a series of tax cuts that stunned even conservatives in the Congress. Talked about the wholesale cutting of numerous government programs, talked about cutting programs that were the underpinnings, for example, of the civil rights movement. We'll get into that.
And also, that was the same year in 82 that the Congressional Budget Office finds that taxpayers earning under $10,000 lost an average of $240 from 1981's tax cuts,
yep.
While those earning over $80,000 gained an average of $15,130.
And the unemployment rate in 1982 rose to 10.8%.
But according to Reagan, that's their fault.
That was their fault.
The unemployed's fault.
In early 1983, his job approval rating was down to 35%, but by January 84, it had rebounded to 53%. And by January of 85, which is really considered to be the golden year of the Reagan presidency, his approval rating was up to 86%. Then, of course, the Iran-Contra scandal came along in 1986. His approval rating actually went up to 63%.
Down.
But by the time the Iran-Contra affair became public, which was in November of 86, it had tanked by December to 47%. That's according to the Baltimore Sun. By February of 87, 42%. March of 87, Reagan acknowledges mistakes. His approval rating went up to 51%, and by 88, it was 52%.
The only way that this president the only thing they can do right now, it's almost like the timing of Reagan's death is the only thing that Bush has to hold on to. He's trying to link himself to Reagan's legacy, all right? He is trying, I swear to God, if two-term dead presidents could run for office again, I think Bush would run with the corpse of Ronald Reagan.
Given him a week's grace period. This entire week now, Reagan will be buried on, or there'll be a service for him on Friday. That gives George W. Bush essentially a free pass for the entire week. John Kerry has suspended his campaign, will probably not reactivate it until after former President Reagan is buried. And it gives Bush essentially a free ride. Were it not for some of the stranger things, and Mark, you pointed this out just a few minutes ago, coming out of the mouth of our defense secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, who essentially is saying, look, we really don't have a handle on the war on terror. We're not sure where they're going to strike next. There are, yes, there are terrorists in the United States who have come to the United States since September 11th. Think about that for a minute. We are supposed to have had heightened security. We have a Department of Homeland Security. We have a Transportation Security Administration. We have all of these extra security procedures in place. I see cops stopping trucks on the way into the
randomly stopping
here in
trucks.
New York.
Sure. There's no real plan.
We are supposed to be safer. But what is happening? Donald Rumsfeld tells us that the terrorists, much like drug dealers in certain communities across America, are one step ahead of law enforcement.
How many more of those folks are being trained and developed and organized and deployed and sent out to work the seams and the shadows and the caves? And each year that goes by, we have a growing likelihood that they're going to have their hands on increasingly lethal capabilities.
Donald Rumsfeld ought to resign.
And in the International Institute of Strategic Studies, it says that driving al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan dispersed them to many countries, making them almost invisible and harder to combat. The U.S. occupation of Iraq has brought more than 1,000 foreign Islamic fighters into the country who weren't there before. There was no connection between Iraq and terrorism before this attack. And you know what? You know, George Bush, the thing that's frightening to me, if this is some sort of tactic on behalf of Rumsfeld and this administration, to scare us even more. And, you know, I don't know how it could be a tactic. I think that what's happening is the blame is finally going all the way up. And all that's going to be left is, you know, Dick Cheney, George Bush, and John Ashcroft sitting, you know, in the Oval Office, you know, praying. You know, I mean, it also...
For deliverance.
The only legacy that, you know, the only way that this president can be compared to Ronald Reagan, really, is that he's outdone him on the deficit. He's made a bigger deficit than Reagan, which was quite a task. I mean, trillions of dollars, right?
7.2.
It's unbelievable.
No, that's the debt. Sorry.
He's brought in more religious references into his presidency than Ronald Reagan ever could. Ronald Reagan was very focused and apocalyptic. This guy, you know, on a day-to-day basis, almost is, you know, drawing some sort of, like, you know, he's saying that God is talking to him, which is disturbing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and whatever he says about the new numbers, unemployment is still up.
Well, we have in this situation a president of the United States and a staff that has a very, very specific agenda. It is not, in my judgment, an agenda that in any way benefits the bulk of the American people. It does benefit, in fact, many of Bush's friends in business.
Oh, they're very kind of business.
Yes.
The morality stops at the land of corporations.
Well,
you know?
But remember, too, that it is not just corporations that will financially benefit from a Bush administration, particularly a second Bush administration. Remember three words, faith-based initiatives. This is worth millions to Bush's friends.
Right.
In the religious right, these are the people who will get the money and are already getting it.
That's hilarious. So you're saying, like, here's $1 million. Make sure you tell your congregants.
Yes.
To vote the right way.
No, not just that.
Deliver them.
Here's several million dollars to run programs that your congregants will be able to get work from that would ordinarily be run by government, but since we're such nice guys, we're going to let you religionists run it instead.
As long as they vote for me.
There you go.
Deliver them to Bushland. Still ahead, the president's Palm Pilot, Sherrod Small, funny, very funny comic, all that right here on Air America Radio.
Can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
way. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Newsflash. Tim Robbins Embedded is going to London. Must close at the Public Theater in New York on June 5th.
A savagely witty, very smart, very screwball, and ultimately very chilling comedy.
San Francisco Chronicle.
Embedded.
Wildly entertaining. You'll find more truth about war on this stage than you'll find in most newspapers.
BBC.
Embedded.
Poisonous.
Who's that from?
The New Republic.
Whoa.
Embedded.
Savagely witty and incisive, uncompromising.
LA Times.
Embedded.
Swift, savage, sharply clever lampoon.
New York Star Ledger.
Embedded.
Bad taste.
Who's that from?
Fox News.
Whoa.
Embedded.
Excellent, timely, and compellingly cutting satire, a tribute to the finest traditions of drama and political comedy.
Democracy Now.
Embedded by Tim Robbins at the Public Theater.
212-239-6200.
Last chance to see Tim Robbins in Embedded. Must close June 5th.
Order tickets now.
212-239-6200.
Order tickets now.
As a business leader, do you need more time to focus on your core business without ignoring your employees? GEM Human Resources is your solution. GEM HR will handle all of the human resource and safety outsourcing services that your organization needs. Payroll processing, benefit administration, HR compliance issues, OSHA safety administration, recruiting, and more. All at a cost that's less than you're paying today. With our team managing your human resource priorities, your team can focus on what's really important, your business. GEM HR combines state-of-the-art technology with experience professionals to efficiently develop, implement, and maintain your human resource needs. You'll increase your productivity and grow your business. Contact GEM HR today at 610-975-9995 or on the web at gemhr.com. At GEM HR, we believe happy employees are your company's greatest asset.
Yes.
The Rockford Files.
Mark Maron with Mark Riley. Sue Alcott out sick. Morning's edition. Air America Radio. I just got that bite of bagel down.
Just got it?
I didn't time it
well,
right.
Well, let me run something while you're digesting it.
All right, all right.
Because I know there are people who are listening to us this morning, and they're saying we are not being properly respectful of the late Ronald Reagan. That we're not, you know, we're not doing justice to his legacy by criticizing him for the last, what, 2 hours and change? But you know what? That's American as apple pie. We are exercising our right as Americans
to dissent.
To dissent. And to say essentially, look, we don't share your view of Ronald Reagan. We're sorry he's dead. He had a full life. He was 93 years old. I feel bad that he had, you know, Alzheimer's over the last few years of his life. But, hey, I am not going to, and Mark Maron certainly is not going to, paper over differences in the name of some patriotism, in the name of some false foolishness.
Revisionism.
Revisionism that passes for discourse in this country at this particular time. So that's a message to all you people who are sitting there grinding your teeth saying how disrespectful we're being. You know, Expect more.
Yeah, we are up against people. We are up against people that wanted to put, you know, they wanted to take Franklin Delano Roosevelt off of the dime.
That's right.
And put Reagan on there to try and sort of erase the contributions that Franklin Delano Roosevelt made to this country.
They were many, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, he created, well, 1 second. Presidential Palm Pilot for today. I went into a brain lock.
I love that.
My guy. At the Oval Office, we got this last hour, but here's the president's schedule for today. 8 o'clock a.m., wake up, stay on message. I'm just like Ronald Reagan, wag head in folksy manner, emphasize a rakish angle of cowboy hat, tell better jokes. 8:30 a.m., review tape of last night's Tony Awards, repeatedly point to award winners and say, I'll bet that guy's gay. 10:30 a.m., move troops from South Korea to Iraq, unilaterally declare the Korean War is over. We won! 11:30 a.m., move Iraq troops to Yemen, declare that Iraq war is over. We won that, too. 12:30 a.m., move troops out of Yemen, simultaneously declaring war and victory there. 3 p.m., give D-Day commemoration speech again, alone, to self and bathroom. Repeat it while wearing different costumes. 4 p.m., call France and ask whether they knew that America saved them in World War II. Be reminded that you were just there yesterday for D-Day celebration. Say, oh, yeah. Give speech to self again. 7 o'clock p.m., get taste of French food out of mouth. Eat dinner of cornflakes and Pepsi. 10 o'clock p.m., lights out. Dream about French chicks.
Corn Flakes and Pepsi.
You know, I got to be honest with you, Mark. I think a lot of our listeners are right on line with this. Here's an email we got a little while ago. I read it before. Dear Mark and Mark, I'm glad that Reagan's dead, and I have the exact amount of compassion for him that he had for people with AIDS. None. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't even utter the acronym during his dismal presidency. Right?
Yeah.
Here's another email from Roger in Washington. If in the midst of this current boo-hoo-hooing and gush of pains to the great communicator, you would like a reminder of some of the highlights of the oh-so-wonderful Ronnie years, here's a great place to start. He gives a website. My disgust for what Reagan and his minions did to this country has been lessened neither by the passage of time nor by his physical departure. Don't speak ill of the dead. Forget it. I mean, you know, I know people, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful, but the reason that we're speaking out at the moment we're speaking out is because there's a tremendous amount of momentum. These Republicans and the people who are in charge of people, you know, guiding the cultural focus have been preparing for this for 10 years. This is their big attempt to rewrite history. And the truth of the matter is, when you look at the facts, as you did last segment, you know, this guy was not as terrific as everybody made him out to be.
Yeah, and everybody didn't even make him out to be terrific. Remember, you know, people are holding up as a straw dog Muammar Gaddafi's statements on Reagan. Remember that Reagan ordered the strike that killed his daughter.
We've got new information.
Family.
Oh, you mean the new statements, the ones where he said, you know, that guy didn't, you know, didn't
yeah.
pay.
Yeah, he didn't pay. He said that he
never brought to,
been
justice.
Brought to justice. Exactly. And, you know, people will say, well, that's the ravings of a dictator, lunatic, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But ask yourself how you would feel if someone ordered your daughter killed. Mm-hmm. Toward that person. The bottom line is you wouldn't necessarily be of most charitable mind. Now, you know, people like Margaret Thatcher, who was Reagan's friend and fellow traveler during the 1980s, during those heady days when they thought conservatives would take over the world, and it hasn't really turned out that way.
Not quite. Well, hopefully we're offering a little bit of resistance to that particular, you know, manifesto.
No, we need to be able to say that's part of it. See, because what troubles me is that people who dissent from the Reagan deification are being branded or get branded as unpatriotic or, you know, somehow, you know, being too irreverent with the legacy of a great president. You know, those sorts of things. When I see one of the first people quoted about Ronald Reagan was Oliver Blinken North, okay?
Yeah, if that's the best they could do.
If that's the best they could come up with, a guy who, you know, essentially said, well, hey, man, later for Congress, I'm going to do what I feel like it when it comes to arming, you know, selling arms to the Contras. I think it's a good program.
Behind
I don't care what Congress thinks.
Behind this glorious president's back, he did that. And, you know, and he's a convicted, you know, war criminal for the most part, isn't he?
Well,
not a war crime, but, you know.
Contempt of Congress was what they nailed him.
Contempt of government.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's the guy singing the praises. And, you know, it's weird because Bush, you know, according to this piece of information that we have here, Bush is acting really less like Reagan and more like Nixon. According to this from Capitol Hill Blue, this report made me so ecstatic in some respects and very frightened that apparently Bush is walking around the White House. You know, this is from a leak from his aides. And, you know, he's mumbling. He's mumbling biblical passages. He's cussing people out. In meetings, it says right here, I'll just read from it. In meetings with top aides and administration officials, the president goes from quoting the Bible in one breath to obscene tantrums against the media, Democrats and others that he classifies as enemies of the state. It reminds me of Nixon days, says a longtime GOP political consultant. Everybody's an enemy. Everybody's out to get him. That's the mood over there. And, like, in interviews with a number of White House staffers who were willing to talk off the record, a picture of an administration under siege has emerged, led by a man who declares his decisions to be God's will and then tells aides to go F over anyone considered to be an opponent of the administration. That's some heavy stuff, man.
Now, you know, they used to make up stuff like that about Bill Clinton. You know that. They used to make up the whole idea that Clinton was walking around talking about effing up his enemies and that sort of thing. Those were the things that people used to fantasize Bill Clinton doing. Yet Bill Clinton was able to leave this country while simultaneously facing an unnecessary and pointless impeachment and still managed to run the country. Not, probably not to the extent he would have liked, and certainly the impeachment scandal and the Lewinsky thing tainted his legacy to some small extent. But the bottom line is Ronald Reagan's legacy is by no means, and I mean no means, pristine.
Yeah. On top of Rumsfeld, you know, saying that it's quite clear to me that we do not have a coherent approach to this, the war on terror, that's Rumsfeld. And, you know, and then it says here in this article that we were quoting before, this is what is killing us on Iraq. One aide says, we lost focus. The president got hung up on weapons of mass destruction and unproven links to Al-Qaeda. We could have found other justifiable reasons for the war, but the president insisted the focus stay on those two tenuous items.
Now, why would he do that? Why would he focus on those two pieces when those two pieces were not obviously really in place? You know why? Because he was getting his intelligence from geeks like Ahmad Chalabi and people like that.
The whole thing was rigged. The intelligence was molded. We got to give the number out because Sherrod's going to be apparently a little late. So we want to, you know, we want
to try to take your phone call.
Yeah, why not? Let's talk more about Reagan. 866-303-AAR0. 866-303-2270. With respect or with no respect, just give us a call here on Air America Radio. Sedition at airamericaradio.com.
Yeah, because, I mean, at a point, I know there are people who really do think Ronald Reagan was a great president. If you think so, don't hesitate to call us and tell us why. I'd be interested to hear maybe how your view differs from my view, differs from Mark Maron's view, differs from our news anchor Wayne Gilman's view. Wayne Gilman has a very interesting take in terms of what happened to the broadcast business during the time that Ronald Reagan was president. And, you know, all of these views have a level of legitimacy. So let's hear them. That's 866-303-2270. Still to come, the liberal agenda and the countdown to democracy. You are listening to Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Reagan is being remembered by friends and political foes across the country and the rest of the world this morning. All have alluded to a sunny optimism about the future of the United States, even if they disagree with his brand of politics. Lebanon's culture minister Ghazi Haredi is not a fan of Ronald Reagan, accusing him of greenlighting the 1982 raid by Israel on Lebanon. The culture minister says the Reagan years in Washington, D.C. marked the beginning of a bad era of U.S. Mideast policy that favored Israel. Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry is canceling all political campaigning for the next 5 days. This includes 2 fundraising concerts slated for this week in L.A. and New York because of the death of the late Republican President Ronald Reagan. And President Bush says he fears Al-Qaeda could influence the 2004 general election by staging an attack similar to the deadly attack in Spain earlier this year. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com.
These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
So what else is news?
She said, I think that after September 11, the American people are valuing life more, and we need policies to value the dignity and worth of every life.
Air America's Marty Kaplan.
The fundamental issue between us and the terror network is that we value every life. So that's it. September 11th is an opportunity to stand up against choice.
Marty Kaplan, evening 7 to 8 on Air America Radio.
Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning's Edition on Air America Radio. Sue Ellicott out sick today.
Get well soon, Sue.
Get well soon, Sue. 866-303-AAR0. 866-303-2270. We're taking your calls, of course, about the death of President Ronald Reagan. First up, Mike in Long Island. How are you, Mike?
Good morning, Mark.
Good.
How What's up, Mike?
Two things. First, I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for providing some balance to the deification of Ronald Reagan. I think the statistics that you went over were accurate and sobering, and basically that's the way I remember the Reagan years. And the second thing is, I think that there was somebody else besides Mark Riley who didn't realize that Reagan had a black Secretary of Housing. Reagan didn't realize it. There's a famous incident where they were at a housing, a conference of city mayors, and yeah. Reagan referred to Sam Pierce as mayor. How
yes.
is your city going, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Mayor, yeah, you're right.
Yes, I'm saying that, Mark, don't feel bad. You're not the only one who didn't realize it. Most of the country didn't realize it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for your call, Mike. Really appreciate
right.
it.
He's absolutely right.
Yeah,
there were a lot of
I remember
people
that. I remember that.
That.
Mike in Michigan, how are you, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty
What's
good,
up,
pretty good.
A couple of quick things.
Yeah.
In order to be on the dime, you got to be dead.
Yeah.
So were they preparing for that when they were talking about him being on the dime?
No, that was actually about a half a year ago. They were trying to rally a bill or some sort of legislation or some whatever it takes to change money.
Yeah.
To get him on the dime, which I thought was an incredibly symbolic revisionist type of action to erase FDR's legacy.
And you know, FDR's legacy was extraordinary. First of all, this man served four terms, longer than any other American president.
But he was a guy who genuinely tried to care for and accommodate the people who were most affected by the Depression, to sort of like, you know, get people back to work by, you know...
The New Deal, the Works Progress
Right, yeah, yeah, the one that built the park.
The WPA,
I mean, and you know, this is like, you know, and the legacy of Ronald Reagan and the attitudes of this president when it comes to people who are unemployed or victims of anything is to blame the victim, to blame the poor for being poor, to blame them and to, you know, not to, to take away government programs that help these people and place it into the private sector or not place it at all.
Want to take a snapshot of Ronald Reagan's presidency. This is not representative of his entire presidency, but there was a time when Ronald Reagan was in office and there were calls about when the unemployment rate hit that double-digit level up in the 10% range.
Right.
And Ronald Reagan got up in front of a camera, or in fact in front of several cameras, and had with him the classified section of some newspaper, I don't know which newspaper it was, and said, well, there's not that big of a jobs problem. Look, and I'm paraphrasing here, look at all these classified advertisements that are in the paper.
Yeah, so he condescended
yes.
to people who are unemployed.
Ah, okay, we have someone very special on our line.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, it is a very exciting thing, and he is certainly... a longtime friend and mentor of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this gentleman has stood up for what has been right for an awfully long time. An honor to welcome to our microphones the executive director of the Rainbow Push Coalition, the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson, Sr. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, family.
How you doing?
Well, it's a challenging day. We're in Appalachia today. We're in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. We're going across these hills for 4 days, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia, where people have been so devastated by poverty and loss of jobs and loss of health care. And so we're in the hills. We're in the hills working.
Yeah.
Reverend, let's talk about the late President Ronald Reagan. You had some run-ins with him, certainly, over the issue of apartheid in South Africa. I remember you know those days in the mid-1980s when the Reagan administration was promoting the idea that the African National Congress, which now governs the country, be dubbed a terrorist organization.
Well, we were on two sides of history. I would say we debated often when we would go to Young President Organization conferences, and first time I heard him say, there you go again, because we had two very different points of view. I mean, he did not support the 54 Supreme Court decision. He thought the judges overreached.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he was a devotee of Goldwater in 64. We were on the Lyndon Johnson side of that debate. He supported Richard Nixon. We were on the Hubert Humphrey side of that debate. And, of course, when he won in 1980, he opened his campaign in Philadelphia, Mississippi, where Sweater Goodman Cheney had been killed. It was really a real blow to the civil rights labor forces that sought to change America. He tapped into the real anti-Martin Luther King, anti-labor sentiment across the South.
Reverend, how did that manifest itself? What did he pursue as policy when he was president that really ate away at the gains of the civil rights movement?
Well, the first thing he did was to bust the Petco Union, a strong statement. But I don't underestimate the impact of his going to Philadelphia, Mississippi, led by Trent Lott. The Swarna, Goodman, Trainer, two Jews, and a black had been killed. That was such an emotional high point of that struggle. He sent such a strong signal by going to that place, and the theme was, we are back, as if to say that Martin Luther King Jr. and those guys took it away, but we are back. We're going to take it back. He tapped into a lot of fears by doing that. He also refers to Dr. King as communist in his struggle to not honor the King holiday. And likewise, supported people like Cheney when they were to keep Mandela in jail.
Yeah.
So he was on that side of history. I guess the high point of our relationship at one level was when I went to get Lieutenant Robert Goodman in 1984.
Yeah. He was Reagan a revisionist. He was like a revisionist racist, Ronald Reagan was, really.
Well, I'm not sure that name-calling serves my purposes, except suffice it to say that he fueled the anti-civil rights, anti-labor, white fears factor in our culture. With his skills, he could have been, had he not collided head-on with Dr. King, he could really have the potential to be a great president because he was such a popular one.
Yeah.
And yet he built it much of it upon the fears as opposed to the hopes of a one Big Ten America.
Right. Reverend Jackson, now let me ask you about the performance of this current presidency, who sees himself as the heir apparent to the Reagan throne. How do you think he is dealing with poverty and issues of race?
You know, it's interesting that when George Bush said, I'll be a compassionate conservative, it was a playoff of Reagan. He's not referring to his father or referring to Ford. He was saying, I'll be unlike Reagan. That was his form. He went to NAACP convention, so I will be available. But Bush has been to the right of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
At least civil rights organizations on occasion met with Reagan. Under Bush, there has not been one meeting, not one meeting with civil rights or labor in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very rigid ideological line along the lines of the environment and affirmative action and really a closed door policy. NAACP met 3 years ago in Houston. Julian Vaughn and M. Fulmer said, we want to meet with the president and have a range of concerns. And he said, I'm meeting with Condoleezza and Colin Powell, enough said. That's a kind of arrogant turnoff.
Wow.
And so it's not been one meeting with Bush and civil rights leaders or labor in the last 3 years. So he thought that it was kind of cherry-pick his own leaders, say, but these are the real people. That's why the rigid lines should inspire us this time to vote our hopes remove our doubts and not vote our fears.
Reverend, final quick question. Can John Kerry afford to take this week off from campaigning as he's decided to do?
Well, I don't think he can. It's a question of how he does it. I mean, you can respect Mr. Reagan's presidency and with due respect, but, I mean, the world moves on. They're still dying in Iraq. While there's a tremendous sympathy for Reagan, a lot of revisionist history by the media, in some sense, it picks up steam for the right wing.
Mm-hmm. Reverend Jesse Jackson, I hate to cut you off. We got to take a break. But thank you so much for being with us. As always, it's an honor.
Thank you, Reverend Jackson.
Listen to this, guys.
Okay,
right,
you got
take
it.
Care.
That was exciting. Reverend Jackson calling us out of no place. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll be back with the Liberal Agenda and other stuff here on Air America Radio, so stay tuned.
When my best friend died, I started to think, what would happen to my family if I died today? That's when I heard an ad on the radio for AccuQuote. So I called 800-500-8108. They found me life insurance from a top-rated company, and they saved me a fortune.
This is Byron Udell, founder of AccuQuote. Since 1986, we've been saving people hundreds, even thousands of dollars on their life insurance. For example, a healthy 40-year-old can buy $500,000 of 10-year level term for less than $20 a month. A 50-year-old, less than $50 a month. 20 and 30-year plans are also available. And ask us about the new term life policies that guarantee your money back even if you don't die. So if you're thinking about life insurance or want to know if you're paying too much, write down this number and call 800-500-8108 and start saving money right now. Or visit us at AccuQuote.com. That's 800-500-8108. 800-500-8108. Rates, policy forms, and availability vary by state.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Good morning, 45 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Sue Ellicott out sick. We've had a very compelling and powerful morning. A lot of input from emails and our listeners on
a lot of calls. We thank everyone who called this morning.
It's been tremendous. It's been tremendous. And in the studio walks a hurricane.
Yeah.
One of my favorite.
All
black men.
You heard me?
Uh-huh. With us now is Sherrod Small. Plans to be on Jimmy Kimmel's show, what is it, next week? Or June 15th. He's on a weekly show
19th.
called It's the 19th you're going to be on Kimmel?
I'm doing Hard Rock on the 19th. I'm doing Jimmy Kimmel that same week.
All right, and you're also on VH1, The Best Week Ever.
You better believe that, baby.
And I'm going to, let me just do this little piece of comedy here, and we're going to get right to Sherrod's point of view on things. You need anything, buddy? You okay?
Water, maybe?
Okay, we'll get you a water.
White girl?
Here we are.
Uh-oh.
As the deadline for Hand Over Power, as the deadline for the Hand Over Power to Iraqis approaches, we'd like to explore various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. Today's issue, this is, of course, Countdown to Democracy. Today's issue, transfer of power. Leaders of Iraq, you may have noticed that one of our former presidents just died. No, he wasn't blown up by a car bomb. He was a very old man, and he died peacefully of natural causes after a long illness. We know this is a new idea for you, but in a properly run democracy, when politicians use the word retire, it doesn't mean the same thing as when the mafia uses it. Our leaders can leave office without being killed. Heck, even diehard conservatives haven't tried to shoot Jimmy Carter. They've assassinated his character, but not him. Admittedly, we arrested your last president. That's okay. That's us. But to make sure no one has to take out your next guy, you should make it impossible for anyone to become president for life. We've got term limits, but you guys might want to try exile and work your way up from there. Good luck and God bless. This is day 23 in our countdown to democracy. Live free or die.
You're helping people, Mark.
That's all I'm about, Sherrod. You know me from the Comedy Cellar and from places where we work. I'm all about love and I'm about caring.
I know. Yes. I read your tattoo. I know.
This is a guy who brings me on stage as his favorite Jew.
That's right. It's true, though.
See?
So what's going on? George Bush, Reagan, what's happening, man?
Reagan, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, he was old. And
Reagan was like, I never loved him.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's kind of like an old teacher passing away that you never really got along with.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him.
He hit me. He failed me. But I'm going to miss him.
Hard, but I deserve half of that. I'm going to miss him.
What about Bush, man? Bush is kind of, did you hear, we got this story here that he's walking around the White House mumbling. He's freaking out. He's like, you know, doing biblical passages and cussing people out. He's snapping, dude.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, he is. Right. About time, right?
I set my watch by that information.
That's his agenda for the second Bush president.
Just to be like, God damn it.
Yeah. He's out of control.
Yeah.
He's out of control.
Yeah. Do you think he, what have you been thinking about the presidency all along, from the beginning? How's he treating black people?
Well,
gee, you never asked me that.
Yeah, we did. We talked about it for a half hour.
I mean, Colin Powell and Condoleezza seem to like him, so I guess he treats us all right.
Is that enough?
That's enough for me. If two black people like any white person, that's enough.
Yeah. Brian McKnight is signed up for this year's convention.
Yeah.
Brian McKnight, nice.
Is he?
I don't know. He was at the last one. It was like Negro Night. I think it was the Tuesday in Philadelphia. He was up, and you know, he had this whole chorus of people, and you know, everybody was talking about how diverse the party was. Yet in the audience, only 4% of the Republican delegates were black.
Yeah, the only black people were the chorus.
Yeah, the chorus and the people with the brooms coming in to clean up after it was over.
We had Jesse Jackson on. He basically said that this president's worse than Reagan was, and Reagan, you know, was pretty bad.
Yeah.
When it comes to black-white relations, and he said that this guy is even worse. He was very diplomatic about it, though.
He was diplomatic. Because
Bush don't know any better.
Yeah.
Reagan knew better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that's how Bush, people forgive Bush for that. They think he doesn't know better, but he's just playing it, you know what I mean?
He's playing
it like he doesn't know better, but this guy's a very calculating guy.
Oh, true, definitely.
Well, he's a politician.
Yeah.
Politicians can be whatever you want them to be.
Right.
As long as you elect them, as long as you keep them in office, as long as they can possibly stay. You're cool.
Calling him dumb is probably the best thing we can do for him, as far as him getting stuff done for himself. I'm telling you, underestimate people when you call him dumb.
Yep.
Yeah, I know. Hey,
I can't be evil.
It's good for him in a bad way. Right, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I'm too stupid to be evil.
Exactly.
Do we have to...
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to stay here with Sherrod. We're going to find out what's on his mind. And we got the liberal agenda coming up, and you've been a great crowd.
This is nice to know.
Come back on Air America Radio.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
I'm really impressed with CortiSlim. And you know what? I like the way my clothes are starting to fit now.
I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and since my field is psychology, picture this. You're getting ready for work and select a pair of pants that you couldn't come close to buttoning before. Today, they fit. That's how you know you're losing weight. But weighing yourself daily can drive you crazy. Why? Because many diet pills fake you into thinking you're losing fat when all you've lost is water weight. We tell our customers to stay off the scale and gauge your success in the mirror and by how loose your clothes are fitting. One national radio personality told me he gave up weighing himself. All he knows is, since CortiSlim, he's fitting into pants 2 inches smaller in the waist. Yes, results vary, and diet and exercise matter. But in my opinion, Dr. Talbot's CortiSlim is a true weight loss breakthrough. Stop weighing yourself and start losing the inches with CortiSlim. Call 1-800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316. 800-LEAN-316.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Yes, we're coming in for landing here on Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley. Sue Ellicott is out sick. Our in-studio guest is Sherrod Small.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
My fellow comic brethren who was supposed to be here at 8:30 but got the wake-up call at 8:17. Maybe he misunderstood how that was supposed to work. Our producer called him to say he should be here, and he thought, is this my wake-up call?
I was like, black people time or white people time? They didn't explain it to me.
Oh, we just assumed.
That's 8:17 Pacific.
Okay, nice.
So, dude, like the terrorist alert is high. We're supposed to be looking out. How you feeling?
I feel secure. Martha Stewart's going to prison. I can sleep. That's the word about, right?
Yeah.
I don't mean Arabs got it bad.
Yeah.
Definitely Arabs in America.
Yeah.
Take the weight off my shoulders. I appreciate it. Ever since 9/11, my life has never been easier. I'm telling you. I got cabs pulling up. It's great.
I was going to ask. You get cabs now?
Cabs.
There you go.
Sometime.
And they don't follow you in the store? The security people?
No,
well,
not
usually
as much.
Black anyway.
But then you got to wonder about the driver.
That's right. He's up to something. He looked like Hood, too.
I never think that way until, like, you know, until when they say be scared, I live in Queens, I immediately start thinking, like, what are those guys up to across the hall? I got three packs of Danny guys. I'm like, hey, remember, I got
the more, like, American flags you see on his stuff, the more dangerous they are.
Oh, come on.
If you got, like, 19 American flags, who are you, Evel Knievel? Relax. You're dangerous.
So how's that show going over on VH1?
Great. Ooh.
Yeah.
I love Viacom.
Uh-oh.
Viacom is great.
Oh, what are you, kissing a little Viacom ass?
I lick it.
Yeah.
Make my mama proud. I lick it.
They paying you good, are they?
They paying all
right. Oh, yeah, right.
No, it's okay. It's okay. For basic cable?
Yeah.
And we're talking about the pure basic. We're talking about illegal basic cable.
So who are you for in the big presidential election? And be honest, you're not at the cellar.
I'm for the one who's the least white. Who's the least white out of those two?
I'm not sure.
I like John Kerry.
You do? Oh, that's good. I do too, man.
I think he's a good guy.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy. The other guy's starting to really creep me out and frighten me, starting to, from day one.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Bush?
Yeah.
Oh.
Creeping me
out. Welcome aboard.
Yeah. So Kerry, you think he's going to be good for black people? Black people?
He better be.
I think Puerto Ricans will like him.
Yeah. You have a theory there? Or you just going to throw that out?
I don't know. Kerry, I don't know.
Yeah. It's hard to tell, but he seems staggered.
Voting is like this. You know you're going to have a foot in your ass. You look for the person with the smallest feet. Terry got small feet, don't he?
I don't know. He's a big guy.
Bush got like Shaq feet.
No, with Bush, you're going to get the whole bush up your ass.
Bush got like Shaquille O'Neal's foot in you.
He's like waddling. Yeah. That's hilarious,
remember
man.
Dancing inside you.
Uh-oh. So what do you got going on this week, man?
This working, man. I'll be at Gotham in the Comedy Cellar.
Yeah, I was at the Comedy Cellar on Monday. It was good. Or not Monday, last weekend.
Yeah, I'm the, she gave me a bunch I'm of the new God for you.
No, you're not. We got to get Keith on, man.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Hilarious.
Just because I love the way Keith talks. But,
he's old school black.
Yeah, he is.
Fire black.
That's what I always say. When he brings me on, I go, that's Keith Robinson, classic black man.
That's right. Like the classic Hulk.
He's got, there it is. There's the, from the Streisand compound, our liberal agenda for today. Get your notebooks and pens and paper. Whatever you need. Here we go. One, convince yourself that Ronald Reagan's presidency was just a TV drama that ran from 1980 to 1988. It was replaced with China Beach. Two, complain that the New York Times is obviously biased because the lead stories today were Reagan and the D-Day commemoration instead of Bill Clinton's keynote speech at the annual book publishing convention in Chicago. Three, listen to John Kerry giving a speech. Say over and over, he's interesting. He's really, really interesting. He's interesting. Four, give yourself a break. Go where no one can hear you and keep yelling, trailer trash, until you've gotten it out of your system. Five, tell everyone that World War II was not won by troops in Normandy. It was actually won by poets, vegetarians, and part-time instructors at the Learning Annex.
Nice.
There you go. Sherrod Small has been with us briefly as it was. Maybe he'll get up a little.
Yes, I'll be back for the next 12 minutes.
Come back, man. Come back.
Thanks for being with us on Morning Sedition. Hope you had a good time.
Yeah. And again, get well, Sue Ellicott. We miss you.
I'm probably going to be out tomorrow. My voice is starting to go.
Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Sedition, David Wallace will be here to fill us in on his new book, Killed, Great Journalism Too Hot to Print. We'll tell you the stories the mainstream media has been too wussy to tell you.
Wussy, that's a Mark word.
That's not my word. That's tomorrow's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio. See ya.
Bye.
Charts and graphs, love making charts and graphs.
No afternoon slump here.
Pie charts, flow charts, bar graphs too. Hey, it's only 5 after 2. Huh, that rhymes.
Thanks to the Doldrum Fighting Harvest Bar. Real fruit and healthy energy from whole grains, fiber, protein, and vitamins. In 10 tempting flavors like rich toffee chocolate chip and pleasing strawberry.
Cover sheet, turn it upside down, dial the number, press send. Facts.
Harvest Bar from Power Bar. Skip the slump, be great.
Weeds like dandelion, clover, and hundreds of others can stand between you and a thick green lawn. That's why Bayer Advanced created Triple Action Lawn Fertilizer Plus Weed Control. It does two jobs at once. It kills 4 times as many types of weeds as the leading brand, while it feeds at every level. The grass, the roots, plus it fortifies the soil for a thicker, deep-down green that lasts longer. Without the weeds, guaranteed. Bayer Advanced. Better thinking, better results. Available at Lowe's and other garden retailers.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning.